Yeah, I know.
Plenty to go around.
Enough for everyone.
I know. Yeah.
He's running it out to get it waxed.
Well, good to see you guys from a 90 degree different angle from normal, but it's yeah, really, really good. So yeah, week 10 landed upon us, and I spent a good part of this morning reading through my notes on the pre program interviews with each of you, just to kind of get a feeling of where we were, what everyone wanted to capture in their life, and reconciling with myself. Do I think we got a lot of that delivered, and we can continue to over time, and it actually felt really good. So that's a good takeaway. Yeah. So, you know, week 10 was about the TV appearances, the stuff we talked about in there, integration and application and, you know, where we go from here, and then getting clear on yourself, because I talk about first in the module, because I wanted to make sure that this call was set up for really not just stuff that we did in week 10, but you know, what is it that we've done in the last 10 weeks that's still sitting a little bit weird for you, not quite integrated, and how you're going to do it, and can we take care of some of that live in a way that serves you going forward and catapults you? I'm so happy to see Betsy took care of getting everyone who, I guess, has taken the steps into the alumni group. It's fun. Hopefully you've had some chance to read through. I think that goes back probably 3 or 4 years. I don't know how long you've been running that group, but people back to 2011 are in there. So we'll open up the floor. We'll give a priority to people who it's 4 a.m. for. And let me see if I can raise this chair a little bit. Man, I never sit. There we go. Okay. Yeah, hey, that's good. That kind of works.
Cool. Hey, well, I'll do a very quick one, just something that came up. I've got our first CVI out this week, which was great.
You did? Very good. What kind of a venue was that for?
Actually, it was it's for an advertising agency. Oh, yeah, for a big advertising agency who want, they actually want kind of 5 small shows. And they didn't want to pay the full price, because they wanted to break down, instead of having one big show, they wanted to do 5 smaller ones with their agents that they work with. But so we ended up trying to get some contra from them. But they still didn't want to pay as much. So we thought, let's hit with a CVI. The only thing is, we were just trying to wonder what. Whereabouts do we, when we're sending out the CVI and obviously the price, where should I be putting the price, or where should we be putting the price?
Right.
Because this is obviously kind of going forward. So when we send out the CVI, do they get the price there and then? Because the thing is, we don't want them to like to see the price and kind of then not go and look up the video and everything, by directing their eyes straight to the price. Is there?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I used to put, you know, how I have bullet points, and unfortunately, you may have been on the call when I shared it, but when I moved servers, all my other CVIs were on a WordPress template. So I those went away when that site went away, and we went to Squarespace, unfortunately. But on some of them, when they were with direct clients like that, you know, the same headline, the introduction between IBM and Raspini Brothers for this event on this date, a video box right there, with the time showing, you know, a minute, 30, 2 minutes, whatever it is. And then a bullet point, a little thank you note underneath, and then a couple of line items, whatever the line items are you're recapping. And price is nothing more than just one of those line items.
Right, okay. So just write literally on the bottom of the page there.
Yeah, appearance fee is appearance fee for this agreement is so-and-so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so don't make a big deal out of it. Don't highlight it. Yeah. Did you say they didn't want to pay one? They wanted the price broken down. Is that?
Yeah. Actually, Catherine will know more.
Matt's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just a dancing monkey.
Right, exactly.
These particular clients don't have much cash, but they can pay us in contra, and it just turns out that we're clients of them anyway. So contra is not a big deal. It's just that we will actually have outgoings, so we don't necessarily want to do it just for contra, because there's costs that we will with her by being involved with them, but we do actually use them as clients, so they're valuable to us.
Gotcha.
Finding that kind of balance of what we're willing to accept and what they're in a position to do. And they are a very big company with a very big, the people that we get in front of with these shows are, you know, are potential clients as well. So, yeah.
Very good. Okay. That's good. So, you know, it's always good to look at what else you can do, because there's some things that are more valuable. I told a story on one of these about doing a thing for a technology company during a joint venture just for stock shares in Salt Lake City, and you know, mm-hmm. very valuable. So, you know, see what she can do for these people. If they have TV commercials, if they have, you know, industrial films, inside industrial films, always a good thing for all of us to be looking at. You know, what are they doing for internal training? If they like us, there's no reason to not be on a handful of internal training videos about safety, about sales, about new procedures, onboarding, customer information, whatever it is. Basically, you know, really, what can we do with them once we're in their circle? And it sounds like you guys are finding some. Is the word you use contra? I never use that. Is that like
it's contra is part cash and part.
Value.
Other stuff.
So this particular company, what that means is that they're an advertising company. We use them for advertising at different times.
Gotcha.
So they would give us advertising of a certain value in exchange for the cash
portion. Love it. Good.
So there's definitely value there, but obviously there's things like that as well. So we want to make sure that there's
good. So yeah, you know, put that on the line under the CVI, and you know, and I don't know if you really even want to draw any cash. I mean, you know, ask for more than you probably get if you were paying in the dollars, of course, for the stuff, because there's no reason they should be telling you what you should be spending your money on. But good for you guys. And how did it go making a CVI?
It's pretty slow for the first one, but that was mainly just technical glitches. I'm quite like making videos and bits and pieces and stuff like that, so that wasn't a problem. It's just that we've pretty much been on the road most of Showbiz Blueprint, so everything has been tricky. So there's lots of little things, but once I've got the first one out of the way, now it's kind of cool. Now I've got everything set up as a template now, so.
Yeah, well, you know, my 15-year-old, he sees what I do, you know, and he saw my CVIs, and he says, you know, you could make those better on your phone. He literally, he was like, you know, having this phone comes with a Keynote on it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, record the parts live and have your Keynote slide. And I was like, whoa, man, you know, I look forward to what his generation does with all this stuff. But I mean, the idea of being able to whip out a CVI on your phone.
Yeah.
I still haven't wrapped my brain fully around it, but I see what it is. I mean, if that Keynote template is blank in there, and you plug in their name, and you, instead of doing a voiceover, just do those pieces of it, a live intro, you know, with you guys on the road to a gig, you know, holding the phone, and then go cut out that and just use the audio to overlap the Keynote. Hey, good, Jim. Good to see you, man. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's great, man. That's exciting. Hey, keep us posted, would you? Drop a note if that works or what feedback you get from it.
Will do.
Matt's going, can we do that? I know. It's great, man. It's great how you removed yourself from the business side. You guys are a great example of really a possibility of partnership and splitting duties and staying in each other's, letting each other stay in the zone of brilliance. It's great. Mm-hmm. Really nice. Really, really cool. Yeah, and waking up early.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Who else had stuff come up from the last module, or you know, where else do we want to go on this call? How do we want to use it best?
I have a question about.
Cool, Mick.
Renee, I saw you ready to go. Go ahead, buddy.
No, go first. Go first.
So we one of the big things we got out of this is the website. You know, we changed our copy, we changed our pictures. We are in the middle of creating a new video. We got some great footage and pictures from the Ecolab thing. And I'm wondering on our Facebook page if we should have, or not our Facebook page, I'm sorry, our website, we've got our landing page, And then we have one about the show and what we do. And I'm wondering if we should have a separate page for trade shows, just a completely separate thing, or how, like, how would you run something like that?
Yeah, I don't think you need a, you guys are dealing with the same market, you know, the same people who are, oh, this is great. Yes, it's great. You did some good changing on this.
Yeah, there's more to be done, but still want to change the a little bit of the copy, and then we're going to put logos up for the, you know, like you suggested. And then, but we have a page that says shows, and I'm wondering if there should be another one for trade shows. This, we need to rewrite the copy on this, but.
Yeah, you know what? Just put trade shows under here and put it second. Move theatrical events down, because that's not really what you're doing on this website, you know?
Yeah. So we should,
so corporate services, look, just do this, Mick. This is great for every you guys, you know, corporate services, that's who it's for. This one, you know, after dinner, general session, kickoff, award banquet, write two paragraphs of copy here. Trade shows, write two paragraphs of copy here. Corporate films, industrial, insider training films, put a paragraph or two there. Those are all corporate services. So, yeah, keep it concise.
Okay. And then, so I'm wondering about, like, then where do the pictures go, or do they not go on the website? Because we've got these huge crowds gathered around us at the trade show. Like, there's some awesome pictures, and I kind of keep thinking, do you want your trade show to look like this, or do you want, you know, ever imagine getting this many people to your booth?
Yep.
And so I kind of want to have that as a heading. That just go below here, or a separate page, or not at all?
No. So do it this way. You have corporate services. And have a sentence like this, you know, just an introductory sentence, and then say, yeah, this is good to, you know, our clients, and you'll have some logos around here. You know, this will be a bit of a design challenge for you guys to do this, but then a section where it just says trade shows right here. And right here, you can have a little rotating icon of images even right here. You know, a little slider of images that keep going by. And you have your headlines worked into the, which I think you did on your homepage. Didn't you guys work the headlines into the sliders somehow? Yeah, like you have it here on the side.
Yeah.
Well, on that last one, you really had it, yeah.
We're actually, we had another one up, but there was a spelling mistake on it, so I'm remaking it. So.
You're not the first person to have that happen. Yeah, that's good. But yeah. In that first one, you had the caption right here of what you want them to say. Is that a Dubay shop in New York?
No, that's Caleb's Garage.
Oh.
We did a thing, it was a stocking full of awesome number 6, and it had kind of a Star Wars theme, so we filmed us juggling lightsabers. And then it got on People Are Awesome.
Oh, nice.
Of all the stuff that we do, juggling lightsabers is what gets the big hit.
Right. Funny, man. There's something in that. Well, this is good. You know, this could be your trade show thing. You know, summarize what's happening in the photo, like you have in this text right here, Mick, and just have that sliding through your trade show. Yep. Crowds like this at your event. And, you know, meanwhile, that's scrolling and people are getting to, you know, take in the copy here where you're actually talking about what you do at a trade show. And then the same thing for kickoff sessions, sales conferences, award banquets. Just have a separate section for each, but all under corporate services.
Okay. And then like a little slider for each, or keep the slider on the front?
If you have good photos. Yeah. If you have good photos, do it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Make each one. This is great. Yeah. Good too. Cool. All right, out to Germany we go, man. I know it.
Okay, I have a question. I implemented the, didn't get the gig funnel right from the beginning somewhere, and even before, but I changed it to the way you suggested us to do it. And of course, I get replies to it. Like 2 days after the gig, they reply and they write an email and they thank me and so on and so on, and it's all automated. What would you suggest to tell them? I mean, I think I should respond to this email. It's my opinion. What do you think? And what to say? Just nice to hear that everything went well, or something like this along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, the didn't get the gig funnel is all inclusive. You don't need to add anything to it. And, you know, if there's a relationship that's built there, if there's they ask a question or follow up on something, sure, then you have to. But you can run it without dressing it up. You know, put your energy somewhere else. Get those scheduled. The last one goes out, you know, whatever, 8 to 10 months, whenever they contacted you about the gig. And let it run its course. There's
Yeah. So when they respond to me after 2 days after the gig that I didn't get, they write me yes, because we say something like this: okay, we wish it worked everything well. I included a sentence like, I hope the persons who were responsible for everything thanked you as well, that they recognized your hard work you put into creating this nice event and things like this. And because of that, people really write back because they feel touched by it somehow, because awesome. Maybe they didn't get honored or whatsoever, or maybe they got, but anyway, they feel intrigued to answer, you say I should let it stay like this, not reply to this one.
Yeah, you know, unless they're asking for something else, I wouldn't even go I wouldn't go deeper on that, honestly, Renee. So the one the day of the gig, and then a couple days after the gig, and then 5 days after the gig, you know, there's the email number 4 you put in there.
What is it? Maybe I didn't implement it, because for me it's 2 days after the gig and then like 6 to 10 months later.
No, here, yeah, here's a link. I'll put this in the chat just so everyone has it.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, so that's the full blowout of this thing. You should just follow that thing to the T. Now, of course, if they ask you something, hey, you know, yeah, whatever it is, do you want to follow up? How would you have done this differently? Do you know this person? Yeah, then you jump back in. But if they're not asking for anything that requires a call to action from you.
So, Barry, in other words, you're saying let Renee's campaign just run its course unless yep. they're...
Oh, and you know, I'm seeing why you probably got messed up. I see this got transcribed wrong from how I told the person to do this. Email 4 is actually 5 days after email 3. This should be moved. I'm sorry about that. This is what happens when you outsource and don't check everything. Yeah. So this actually goes up here. Sorry about this, you guys.
Okay, can you repeat what? Okay, there is an email 4. I didn't do that. And the email 4 is about something that I see when I use Google Alerts or something like this. If something comes up about them, then I'm supposed to write them. Well, okay, I reread this later, and then I will.
Yeah.
Then I will take.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm just looking at this right now. So yeah, there's 4 emails in it, and 3 and 4 were reversed, which is kind of not a great thing. And it took me a long time to notice this. I'm seeing now.
This is do not get the gig funnel.
Yeah. Yep, so here you go. Now I have it. sorry, but I'll save this page again. This is email 4 now.
You changed something on the page?
I did. Yeah, I'm fixing.
Okay.
I'm fixing it in real time because, you know, why not? Otherwise, I'll have to remember to come back to it. Here, it's not published yet, but it will be in 1 second. Yeah, okay. And I'm sure this will straighten out. Great question. It just highlights an error here. Yeah, okay, I'll update that.
Okay, so I will have a look later into that one. And another question, our Facebook page, our secret one from 2017 stays. Mm-hmm. It will stay in place?
Yeah, definitely stays in place. You know, what I've seen in past sessions is that kind of tapers down, but it doesn't go away. The one for Showbiz Blueprint 1 is up there, so.
Okay, and last question from my side that I have at the moment, it's regarding the last module and the TV stations. Could you explain me a little bit more about the morning spots you like to target? I'm not really certain. It's like the large channels, it's from CNN, ABC, and those channels, they have like local stations, and you go to these stations, or how is
well,
it?
Well, you know, it's I'm guessing it's radically different in different parts of the world. In America, where I base that off of, you know, there's the big networks, the ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CW, you know, those okay. five.
Yeah.
And then in each city, each big city, they'll have an affiliate, a station that's underneath, like NBC Sacramento, ABC San Francisco. So those are ones I'm hitting. Now, I don't know what it's like in Germany, to be honest with you. I don't know if there's different networks. Are there local news programs? Are there TV news programs that aren't done on a national level?
Yeah, we have like just for each town, you could go to town like like say there is a channel in Berlin, like a local channel in Berlin. It's called Berlin TV, for example. Or in my hometown, it's called Halle TV, something like this. So really, really, really local. It's nothing connected to a large, to a large station. So it's, I mean, it's still worth to do it, I'm guessing. Yeah, because you still come in front of some people and you get some exposure and you get some experience. But like what you said, like with the logos, that you can put the logos on your page and things like this,
it's not going to carry much weight there. So what are the big ones in Germany? I mean, what if we aim for the big ones for Germany, for you, for, some
doing
local, some regional and timely events, what's going on that you could bring the magical touch to the, I mean, I know you have some ideas for other projects beyond magic, because you've talked to me about Webinar Jam and you're doing so, you got something bigger brewing under that nice hairstyle. I know that. and whatever that is, if there's some local timely connection to it that would engage and add value to the people's lives at home who are watching that, that's where you take the segment proposal. I mean, propose that at a time that makes sense, and do it to the big national channels, man. You can go on and kick ass on those. You know that.
Probably not with this project, but anyway, yeah. In general, there might be some stuff, and maybe later we can come back to this topic, because I still have some questions regarding that exchange in the Facebook.
Yeah, cool. Right. Yeah. Do those. Write them down and do them now. It doesn't matter, really. So.
I don't know. I mean, I will ask you later in this session, but at first I would open it for the others.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Great.
Thank you very much.
Oh yeah.
Small question about the media page. Would you use the media page to entice newspapers as well?
Yeah, definitely. I send it to podcasts, hosts, newspapers, magazines, TV, everything. That's the public face of what you're doing. And boy, Robert, you're so lined up to do that, man. Your thing can touch every aspect from sales conferences to tourism.
Do you send that in an email, basically? Is that a link to a web page they open up, or is it just a PDF?
The segment proposals are in PDF, because when you're there doing the TV show, they're going to have the PDF. It blew me away the first time I saw it, but then I saw it every time and I go, oh, this is how it works. They have that. And then oftentimes it's the first time the interviewer sees you or knows anything about you. They're like reading it during the commercial break right before you. So, yeah. But as far as the media site, the whole media site, talk to them when you're talking to news producers on the phone. To say, after this, I'm going to follow up. And I even do it on the phone. I have the email ready to go. I say, I'm sending it. I go, can you see it? Did you see it come in? Really effective to do that. These people are at their desk on their computer. So you can say, I just want to see it, make sure it didn't get caught in a spam folder. I just sent it. Do you see it coming in? They're refreshing. And they go, okay, I got it.
And so it's basically a media page that's not part of your website, but just a link that they go to?
Yeah. And I don't know if you, Mick, got to see the module. I shared the whole, let me see this. Yeah, I just made a quickie little website. This is all about appearances. So this is a sugar-free berry, and this is what I tell them I'm going to send them a link to. And this has all my segment proposals on it. It's got clips of me on all the TV shows doing my thing, doing my little monkey thing.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that's – yeah, and I told the story, I think, in the module. I made this in 45 minutes, and I had nothing. Yeah. I talked to the first producer, though, and she said, send me your media site. And I'm like, oh, fuck, and I and literally just grabbed the free WordPress template, put up – the only thing I had was my TED appearance. I didn't have any TV shows talking about this in my book. And she said, great, let's book it.
So it's kind of just highlights and bullet points of what you would want them to talk about, and then there's the proposals there. And
right. Well, you can see this. This is just a little bit of information. Once you get a sizzle reel made, you can put that here, but I certainly didn't have this at the beginning. This is just the signature story, basically what you're going to talk about. The segment proposals, I mean, you saw what I do in these things. These are blueprinted out, and you guys need to follow this exactly, because this is what they want to see. The segment title, what it's called, available. subtitle for it. This is a fact that they can check. This is your big, bold statement about who you are. This is where you tell them in this segment what they're going to get. Any props you're going to use, and we're all going to use some sort of props, whether it's our voice, joke, something we're going to do. Celebrity tie-in, which is the stupidest thing in the world, but it shows you know what you're doing. You know, celebrities who have had challenges with dyslexia, celebrities who have also played Santa Claus in their life, you know, whatever it is. And then a formula, some kind of a formula, 3, 4, or 5-letter word that the audience can remember. And then in a PDF format. No mystery, but follow that to the T and you'll book them all you want.
Barry, I have a question. How do you capture the, how do you get the footage when you've done the, appearance?
They always put them on the web. So I go on there and, you know, these aren't super high quality. So I grab the web copy of it, but okay. That's all it needs to be. You couldn't make a DVD out of these, but they play.
I had an idea.
Let me add one thing to that, because this will help all you guys. Jim, and I don't do it myself. There's a guy on there's a bunch of people on Fiverr. You just look on Fiverr, download video from the web. Give them the page it's on, and, you know, an hour, 2 hours later, they send you the MP4 file.
You can do that through Firefox as well.
Right. You can definitely do it yourself. Hey, Chris, good to see you, man, in the car. Nice.
Hey, good to be here.
Yeah.
What about the use of those video files? Like, I just did a movie premiere for Disney, and I grabbed a little segment. I was on Fox News. Whoa.
Good for you.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. I'll stick it on our Facebook page. But am I allowed to use it, like, on Facebook or link it onto my website? Or?
Not really, but I've never been talked to, so, you know. They wouldn't say go ahead and use them, I'm sure, but you know, get the file, stick it on there, and if someone ever says anything to you, down. But
may I have your attention, please? Jet Blue is staging the following customers traveling on flight 1101 to New Orleans.
Someone's at an airport.
Hello, customers. Diana.
Sorry.
That would be Jim. Busted.
Who's flying?
That's why you don't have the Jungle Jim Echo behind you. I knew it. That's funny, man. Cool.
I'm flying to South Carolina for 15 shows over the next 10 days. So. Oh,
very good, man.
Yeah. So I got to the airport early so that I can make the class, because my flight isn't until 5:15. So anyway, but I'll keep myself muted as much as possible.
Cool. Lucky South Carolina. That's going to be great. Good for you.
Hey, book yourself in Southern California. Come on out for another visit.
Did you guys ever meet?
Oh, yeah. We know each other.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Susie was there the day I twisted my first balloon.
Wow. Is that code, or are you actually talking about balloons?
Oh, yeah, no. She was there. The first real balloon, I guess you could say.
Oh, my God. That's cool.
It's all relative.
That's right. That just sounds like a great code sentence.
Yeah, we use code like that.
Yeah, cool. Neat.
Barry.
Yeah.
I have an idea. I don't know if this will work for other people as well, and I don't know if it's a good idea or not. But I set a Google alert for, in my case, pickpocket.
And then good.
And then I said, now Jönköping, a big Swedish town, had an article about a slew of pickpockets attacking the elderly. So I thought, oh, well, then I'll call them and say, hey, I saw you had a lot of pickpockets in your town. You wrote about them. I will be in your town that week. Would you like me to talk about pickpockets and how to avoid them?
Oh, wow. And do you hear back?
No, I haven't done it yet. I just got the
Google alert. Oh, hell yeah. You just got the Google alert about it.
Sorry?
You just got the Google alert.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Get off the call. No, I'm kidding. Get the call. But definitely, and this is where you just grab the phone and just say, I mean, even practice. If you can do it on your phone, if you can just whip it together. My name's Robert Ace. You know, I talk to corporate audiences and the public about pickpocketing. I've been a professional pickpocket entertainer for 30 years. I know there's a lot going on in your town. And here's what my segment proposal is. And just, I would just do it live. Don't even waste time with the segment proposal right now if that'll take you extra time. Take some notes and do it all on here in 90 seconds, man.
Sweet.
Get it to the person. That'll be a great appearance for you. Where's that at? Is it up near Umeå in the next week?
I know I live in Sweden, so I should know this better. I've been in Jönköping a few times. It's like 5 hours from where I live.
Okay. I'm going to be in Umeå a week from today, man. If the TV shows up there, I'd love to meet you. So.
Seriously? Sweet.
Yeah.
I know some people in Umeå, so if I can't get there, I can tell some nice people to take care of you.
I'm going to stay with my host family, who I hosted their son for all last year for high school, so it'll be fun.
Wonderful.
Yep. We're going to go surprise, which is hard to do in the days of social media, to go surprise someone on the other side of the country, other side of the world. So, yeah.
Yeah. They don't know yet about it.
No, we unfriended him in Facebook, so.
No, I mean, you're going to surprise them. You go there and just say, hello, here I am.
Well, we're surprising the boy. The family knows.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great idea.
So, Barry, just to clarify, these media, like that brilliant idea that Robert just had with the Google alerts, that's really cool. So it's just, we're talking about trying to get some sort of media attention, even if there's not a show necessarily going on that you're promoting in the area. Correct.
Totally. And so where was this from, Robert? This would be good to dig into a little bit more for everybody else. Was this just a report that was on the news about the pickpockets happening in this town?
Yeah, it was the local newspaper wrote about pickpockets. And I have no show in Jönköping, but it's a white lie. I would tell them that. Yeah, I'm going to be there then and then. Would you be interested in an interview?
So let me just straighten up the language. You'll have to translate this into Sweden, but don't say, would you be interested? Say, I'm in town and I'd like to give you an interview. I'd like to give your audience 3 tips that will save them from ever being pickpocketed. No uncertain terms, no asking, just saying, I'm going to be there and I want to give your audience 3. And even if it's a newspaper interview, whatever, if there's a TV station in that town, I don't know if there is, but,
I think they should have at least a morning talk show because it's quite a big show. It's city.
Dude, do that and get on TV and pickpocket the shit out of the host. That would be amazing. God, that would be so good. I mean, especially if he doesn't know, and then at the end of the segment go, hey, everything I've been talking to you about, here's your watch, here's your wallet, here's your phone. It'd be insane. God, it'd be so good.
So you could use an appearance like that to promote yourself, your brand, maybe get some traffic to your website, as a, you know, even if he doesn't necessarily have a gig in that area, right? Yeah. But then if they say, well, then where are you appearing? We hear, you know, you said you were going to be here. What's the show? Where's all that?
Private date. Yeah, private appearance. Yeah.
Well, and I think the other thing to just make note of with all of this is that, as you're suggesting, Jeff, it doesn't matter if you're doing a show. It's just the more I can say, like, I've been on TV 30 times. That's just huge credibility, you know. Even if I can just say, as seen on NBC, I mean, that's one of the things I'm going to add to my website. In the last year, I was on all the local news stations for various appearances relative to gigs where other people hired me. And it wasn't necessarily about me. It was about who I was working for. But I can now just splash those logos up, NBC, ABC, Fox, CBS, all those go on the website and give me that credibility. So that's one of the things that, yes, a huge capture out of that opportunity.
Love it, love it. Yeah, I love that line. You know, on the TV. I mean, that's the thing here on my segment proposal where I say, share this. This is great because this is your line. This is program needs a shortcut for screen share. Not that one. You know, right here where it says in this segment. Robert will give your audience 3 tips that will keep them from ever becoming a victim of a pickpocket. Props right here where you say this. I will pickpocket your host while he's interviewing me. Dude, they'll have you on just for the challenge. That'll be so great. And they'll make you look good. They're not going to nail you on this thing. This will be great.
Hey, who's that guy with Tom Jones with the hair?
Who is that guy? Yeah,
it's a younger version of someone who I know.
It is, and that that hair came off after each show. That was during my vein period when I was I lost my hair at 23, and I wore stage hair for 24 until 37. So yeah, 13 years expensive hair pieces. Yeah,
it looks like Tom Arnold.
Easy, yeah. Tom Jones or Tom Arnold? No.
Way better looking than Tom Arnold.
I just heard Tom Arnold on a podcast. Very disturbing. Good Lord. You ever listen to that podcast? There's a great podcast called the Carson Podcast. All guests who have been on Carson. Oh, it's the best podcast. It's this guy Mark, someone who does it, I forget his last name, but yeah, he talks to all these people whose careers were made by Carson. It was so good. I just listened to Tom Arnold on that, and it was what a freak show that dude's become.
Hey Barry, I got a question about TED Talks because I read your article. Is there like a system? Is there a process to start setting yourself up for a TED Talk, even if it's a year or two away?
Yeah. Well, one of your people. You're not so much a balloon person. One of Suzanne's people, Dale Abraca, he was an early showbiz blueprinter, I think probably session two or three. And he's done a couple now. And he really followed a real cool system, which I subscribe to, is find TED. You can go to TEDx Talks. I mean, that is the new way to TED. In fact, set your goals there and let TED happen if it happens. But aim for TEDx Talks. Everyone on here has something to offer in a way of a TEDx Talk. And you can get them online. I think it's just TEDx events calendar. And they're all in one place. Yeah. They're all sitting right here. And boy, just a beautiful list. Most of them will have a theme of some sort. My best choice on that is find somewhere within, a couple hour drive of you. If, it's in your town or if it's somewhere else. Find what the theme is and spend some quiet time meditation on walk, bike ride, swim, whatever you do to get quiet, and start thinking about where do I connect my life, my experience as a performer to what this theme is on this event. Sometimes they're about new possibilities, impossible goals, building bridges. They just have these two or three word themes, and start thinking about how you can do that, because every successful TEDx event has the ingredients that are based on this. An academic, an author, someone as famous as they can get, someone who's in the workforce, like on the ground doing this stuff, not famous, but a day-to-day worker in it, and then an entertainment act. And sometimes that's dance, sometimes it's music, a comedian. But those five elements are real key factors of a TEDx. And you know which ones we sell. You know the angle we sell. So if we can connect some dots, and doing a CVI is a perfect way to introduce yourself. Dale did this. He got to do a really cool thing, which was sort of a visual representation of what the other TED acts were talking about. At the TED conferences I've been to, there's two of them. There's been a woman who has long freezer paper along the entire walls of the hall. Have you ever seen anyone who does this artistic interpretation of what's going on? It's beautiful. They draw comics and cartoons based on what the speakers are talking about. So at the end of the day, you can walk along the wall and really get a recap of the day. Beautiful. So Dale got to do it with balloons. I mean, he just kept building this ongoing thing, which was the day. And then the second time he did it on, was it on presentation or something like that? I forget. And then another Showbiz a Blueprint alumni, Jason Michaels, who, I just love. Look him up on the alumni group, because I just drove 3 hours to go meet him up in Reading, and I saw his theater show. He suffered his whole life and still does with Tourette syndrome, but he found a TEDx that was happening about change or challenges with something like that. Man, he submitted this thing on this Tourette's talk. He comes on stage in the straitjacket, talks about being trapped as a child, gets out of it, talks about his growth. Oh, it was a slam dunk and such a beautiful TEDx talk, and one that I'm sure could be considered for TED, over time. They kind of watch how they do. They watch if they get some traction and start getting shared. So, great, great way to do it. Jim, you got an idea for one?
Kind of. I have when I spoke to the librarians, I had a signature story at the end, which awesome. Just talked about choosing a volunteer. And, I used to choose the best behaved volunteer. Now I choose the most unusual volunteer and the reaction to the crowd to it. And a speaking coach I'm working with had said, this could be your TEDx talk. So, that's what I'm thinking about. But, and then the Santa Claus, but I hadn't honed in on anything specific for Santa. So, but there's a lot.
Lessons from a life as Santa.
Just
and especially if the TEDx is happening around December or November, December, be amazing.
That's great.
I wouldn't even know if I do it in the suit, but or maybe it's maybe it's even doing it in the suit and disbanding to become the person you are throughout the talk. just it would be incredible to unwind that, because we don't get that glimpse of life very often, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And equally, I could imagine it being starting as yourself, and as you build what it means to be Santa, to be donning the suit.
So the very, right.
Yeah, that transformation.
Principles. Yeah, but either way, that kind of transformation would be very powerful to see.
Yeah, and then maybe you can even bring in the element of having kids there and actually doing it live in front of them.
Ruin their childhood, Suzanne. Nice.
Not having kids while you transform, but bring the kids in afterwards.
Yeah.
And talk to them. Because I was going to joke and say, yeah, you can add a gig on as Santa after, and you're already in costume.
You're already there.
Better to, you know, if you bring in the element of having a few kids there, and so that people can see the wonder in their eyes and the transformation they go through when they're meeting.
Sounds very nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be pretty cool too. You know, they have these tiny, tiny cameras nowadays that hook onto a little drive, maybe a pen or an applet. I mean, what would it be like to give an audience a point of...
onto glasses.
Right.
Oh.
A POV of Santa. Good Lord. That'd be insane, man. And really just talking about what that means to you and to the people and the...
Santa GoPro. Yeah.
Right. I could see that being an ongoing web series. You know, the holiday season, that could be a channel that people just subscribe to, just to, you know, like at the end of each week of December, you share the greatest little kid moments, because you must get exposed to just how
there's so many good ones.
Right. So to have like a weekly highlight Santa reel.
Can I have your attention, please? And I will say,
amazing.
I love these are great ideas, guys. Thank you. That's I never even thought of a POV of Santa. That's fun. And the speak. Now, when they let, do they put the themes out months in advance?
Yeah, they're usually out quite a bit in advance.
Yeah, here in Denver, something like 6 months out. It's a huge
event. The TEDx is there?
Yeah, yeah, and the theme is announced like 6 months out, and it's a pretty rigorous selection process. I think something like 800 or more people, might have been 2,000 this year, that applied for like 8 or 10 slots. I mean.
Yeah, you know, they always ask for referrals from anyone who's in the TED community. Any of you guys, feel free to reach out for me. I got those 6 talks I don't mind leading into it. I know everyone at TED I know from the earliest days. So totally happy to share that with you guys. This is the image of yours that made me start thinking about the POV, man. I mean, these eyes just tell me that something else is happening here that most of us don't ever get to see.
And, you know, it's funny, the big thing, too, is parents are always so concerned getting the photo, and I just want them to focus on their kids, because when they're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old and they're meeting Santa, it's amazing, the experiences we have. So, that's real good.
Yeah. Cool. Really good.
Barry, I got a couple of questions on the module 10. Questions.
Go a little louder, Colin. I can't hear you, sir.
Oh, sorry. I just have a couple of questions on the module. When I was wondering how you create, what sort of proposals you would create for just like the performance piece, like for your act, like, not sort of like an educational thing that you're selling.
Oh, gotcha. For news to be on your act. Yeah, so that has to be local and timely. You know, that's the only thing you can do on that. You know, an appearance in town that the public can come to, or a holiday, you know, something that you guys know about this. Did I talk about it in the module? These websites where every day 5 or 6 holidays. Did I talk about that? I'll put that on there. Daily holiday calendar. Yeah, daily holiday calendar, like 2017. Right here, bizarre, wacky holidays, obscure holidays. These are this isn't even a good site. There's a better site. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, here it is, National Day Calendar. This is the one. This is great. Today. Yeah, this website's great. Oh, they're trying to build a list. I love that. Okay. Let me stick this in the chat here for us so we have that. Every day is a holiday. So if you can look ahead at one of these and tie something you do, something you want to say, an experience you have, a great trick. Hey, you know, Colin's here to celebrate National Kilt Day, or, you know, National Bagpipe Day, whatever it is. That's a timely hook.
Okay.
And you can do that.
And how do you feel about AGT? And would you advise that or?
AGT?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's you know, it's what we have in this market. An alumni named what's that?
That I can tell you how I feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and talk to people who have done it too, but also running through the filter of that's their experience, may not be yours. You know, people have great time. You know, Laura Ernst is an alumni from way back, and she went on AGT while she was, or right after she had done Shiba's Blueprint. And, you know, she didn't have great reviews, but boy, I mean, she didn't get to pass forward, but the footage she has of Howie Mandel going, you're my kind of people, you know, and she's in a big hamster ball being rolled along the audience. It's like, yeah, all that, you know, Danger Committee, those guys got, you know, full segments from that thing. And that's the kind of video you're not going to be paying to have someone shoot of you.
One of the things it does, it's a huge time investment and you don't make any money doing it, but it gives you instant credibility. Even what's funny because, you know, we can just say, oh, we were on America's Got Talent. And the assumption is, wow, you must be good then. And there's some horrible acts that were on America's Got Talent. But it doesn't seem to matter. Like it instantly gives us credibility that we were on the show. And it was a long time investment. They made us look good, but they said they wanted us on. Like, you may not get to put out the act that you want to put out. Meaning they said they really wanted our comedy and they wanted to hear, you know, they wanted dialogue. They wanted it to be funny. And they literally cut that all out and framed it as a dangerous act and a stunt act.
Yep.
And there's very little comedy. So they kind of get to decide how they want to present you. And it may be in a way you might not like. But on the other hand, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter because, you know, we just got so much credibility automatic just because we were on the show. So
yeah. That's great.
You know, I get calls from them every year, but I always turn them down just because I'm like,
Do you?
I think it's just so easy from what I do to be shown in like a bad light. Like
easy.
Here I come like out with bagpipes and like a dress on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kinda, guy in a kilt.
Yeah, it's kind of easy to label.
But that doesn't matter if you get on it and they mock you and they give you three X's. You're yeah. like your hook is I got kicked off America's Got Talent so fast.
Yeah,
you know, right. You're on the show. Like it doesn't it really is a time investment. It's a pain in the ass. Everything they claim is fake. Like there's for one of them there wasn't even an audience for us and they dubbed in the audience. Oof. Like
wow.
You That's know, brutal.
It is. So we did it for like and they didn't it was for our second round. And there was like no voting, no nothing. It was just for the producers to kind of decide. They don't tell you that, but we kind of learned that later. But they filmed all of us in the audience. There was like hundreds of us. And they said, okay, now everyone just go, yay. And then everyone go, pretend you're angry. Now boo. Now do all that. And then we'll just cut this in later. And so they just filmed all of our reactions to everything that happened. So they had that after the fact. We reacted that way or not. So it was very interesting how it went down, but big time investment. But
well, yeah, watch three episodes of America's Got Talent, and you have a really good idea of the template that they satisfy every single show is the exact same. You know, it's got the heartstring puller, the wacky, the what am I thinking, the amazing, and it just plug in. And you never know if you have, like, you know, they probably didn't need someone who was a funny act for your episode; they needed a danger piece. So that's what you became.
They were really looking for some sort of story for us, and they wanted us to – there were some other jugglers. They wanted us to feud with other people, and we didn't. And they wanted to know a sob story. And we just played it very straight. We're like, this is who they are. And, you know, they said, what are you going to do if you don't make it to Vegas? And they want to hear, we're going to be devastated. This is our only chance. And instead we're like, well, we're opening with Louis Anderson in Vegas next week. And they didn't want to hear that. They want it, but we just decided to be ourselves and just see what happened. So.
That's a good point.
Good.
Be yourself.
I gotta say, Colin, if you ever would decide to go on the show and you need anything for your act, be a bit of a diva if needed, because they can screw you over on your requirements.
Right.
That's the pickpocket that walked out in front of the cameras with nothing to steal.
Mm. Right.
Oh, interesting.
I did take everything he had, but it was like a watch and a pen, basically.
Yeah.
But that was actually my other question, so that I forgot. Even though I got one yes, and in Sweden there are four judges, don't ask me why. So I got one yes, three no's. Should I still mention this as a hook in, for example, when I talk to newspapers?
All you have to do is say you were on the
show. I agree.
You don't have to say anything about it. And no one cares. No one ever asks us, how did you do? How far did you get?
Well,
we didn't even get to the voting round. And we say, we're on America's Got Talent. And people go, oh, I voted for you.
Yeah.
When you reach a certain point in that show, do you have to pay a percentage to the I heard the contract is like really ironclad, and somebody told me that you have to pay like
the contract 15. Is designed for music specifically, and that's why you see so many music people win, because it relates to your album for so many years. And if you do actually win, you're contracted to go on tour with them for a year, and it does not pay well. Like it's so we were thinking ideally we would get close to winning and not win. Like we weren't super excited actually winning the because it would have taken away a little bit of our freedom of what we wanted to be doing. Yeah. Although $1 million divided up three ways, it isn't actually $1 million, but
no, not in this country.
And I always tell people that too. If you're going to do any of those shows, you don't want to be the one that wins, because the one that wins, you know, is the one that's stuck to these contracts. You know, whenever you see the words perpetuity and universe.
Those are big words.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. That means they own you forever, anywhere in the universe.
Anywhere forever. Wow.
Anywhere forever. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So yeah. But yeah, exactly. You want to be the guy that makes it far enough to get as much exposure as possible so you can say, I was on the show. I would say, you ever notice the second place winners on shows like American Idol are always the ones that are still out there doing stuff, and really nobody quite remembers the first
interesting place. I did a corporate date with the Aladi Dogs, who won America's Got Talent, that trained dog act, and I was doing a corporate date with them, and I said how's all that going? He goes, oh, we're on tour with them all the time. And I said, is it good? He goes, I do dates like this to subsidize those. They make more by being the Aladi Dog winners at a corporate event than they ever do on that little tour they put together. Yeah.
I heard that that first ventriloquist that won, the one that did the singing impersonations.
Yeah, Terry Faden.
You're in Vegas. Terry Faden, Vegas.
I heard that he spent his million to get out of the contract, for lawyers to get out of the contract.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I know him and his band.
Wow, $1 million to get out of it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
$1 million he won. That's what he spent to.
He's coming up on his 10th year in Vegas, isn't he, Jeff? I think he's been.
He is. He's been here forever. It's amazing. But it's funny because Terry Fader still has the big room at the Mirage, but then you had Taylor Hicks, who won like a couple seasons ago on American Idol, who was playing the lounge at the Paris.
Oh!
So it was like, there you go. And they both won their respective shows, but Terry got out of it. Yeah, interesting.
Dang, Terry got out of it. Yeah, I think that was 07, man. What a thing. I remember meeting him at a couple things, and he was another one of another dude just like kicking corn dogs off a stage before he started his state fair show. He kicked its ass, man. It was great. Really good.
The other thing is what you see and what happens. Like for the judges, this will be my last story because I could go on. I don't want to waste everybody's time. But
that's useful, yeah. It's good.
We had the three judges do, you know, we did our thing. And Howie Mandel, who's like, I love this. This is really great. And Piers, in the show, said, oh, my God, you guys are awesome. You're good jugglers. You're really funny. I could see you winning this thing. I mean, I really could see you guys taking this all the way. This is one of the coolest juggling acts I've seen. Let's vote. And in the TV show, the clip, he just says, let's vote. They cut out everything good that he said. So, like right there, we knew, okay, we're not designed to win this one. Like,
is that something you could still use as a quote? Because he actually
said that. It's just something we heard. And if you were in the room at the time, you would hear that. But, you know, Sharon Osbourne really liked us. She was just wanted us to have costumes for some reason. She was a little upset. I really like your show, but you should have some matching costumes, or you should match, you know.
She's old school showbiz, man. You know, look at Ozzy. She's old school showbiz. You have a costume if you're going to go on.
She said we were very art house, and she liked that.
Art house.
Which I, you know. So anyway, it was like, so, but what they showed on TV was a small section of what we did without any of the humor, without the jokes, and without all the judges' positive, you know, We got three yeses and a standing ovation from the audience, but that's none of that is gonna, you know, the three yeses showed up, but that was about it. So,
but yet it still impacted you positively.
Absolutely, yeah.
With that almost negative, that's great to hear.
Yeah,
yeah, and the other thing is there's a script, and you are kind of predetermined whether you're going to do well or not. They had a magician who his father had just died, and so that was their hook and their story, and like he totally bombed. He was doing stage illusions, and like his assistant's foot got caught in the trap door when she disappeared, so she was gone, but her foot was sticking out the back. He was like the worst I've ever seen, and you know, and he cried and he said, you know, he blew it and he was so upset and he disappointed his father, and they cut all that out and put him on the show, and he made it like four rounds in, and he like biffed two of his, we watched him screw up majorly.
Yeah, they build the show they want for sure. Yeah. Yep.
So it's just good to know that.
Yeah, of course.
So, and I was supposed to do the Gong Show this year, and it took up a lot of my spring and winter trying to work on it, and I feel really lucky that they ran out of time for me, because I went and saw a taping and I went, oh, I didn't really have the type of act I needed to for that.
I was on that show.
Who? Carl, you were?
Oh, you went to LA and did that?
Yeah, I lived in LA back in like 2008, and they...
Oh, the old one. Okay. Oh, not the new one.
This is the new version.
Okay.
Yeah. They just
hasn't even aired yet.
No, it's probably coming on in...
Yep.
Yeah, over the summer. John Fitzsimmons, who's in my accountability group, yep, with Alan, he was just on that, and he said he basically had a positive experience with it, and you know, expects it again. Reality TV, who knows what the hell they're going to do with the footage, but he feels like it'll definitely serve his career in a good way.
I was going to do it just so I could get the footage. But I wanted to say that with the contract and with all the thing about the in perpetuity and the universe, and I had a tough time with it, and I told the producer that. He said, well, we do have an addendum there. You know, are these the points that you want to bring up? And he named the points, and I said yes. So apparently enough people had spoken up, and they had made an addendum. So it was definitely worth me speaking up about it and not being a diva, but being a diva and saying I'm not comfortable with this. And he said it was more standard music stuff, but they did, they made an addendum for a bunch of us. Never heard of us.
The Australian one wanted me to sign something just at the auditions, which would prevent me from, you know, talking to any other TV or anything, even not even knowing you'd get out of the audition room. And at the time I did have a TV show, kind of on the table. So, that was, it was a really bizarre experience anyway, but, yeah, it was strange what they wanted me to sign, even, you know, from not even having seen anything, moving forward, it really exclusivity, even without you to even get onto camera and that kind of thing. So,
did you do it, Matt, or did you back out?
No, well, actually, it's funny enough, it's one of those invite things, you know, they kept phoning me up, and so I was like, this is gonna be tricky. Yeah, for people who don't know me, I do comedy hypnosis, and so I kept saying, look, it's gonna be tricky because I can't sign this, and they were like, oh, hang on, we can move you through this bit. And they kept bending to all this stuff I said. So eventually I went in and I said, look, well, if you can give me 12 people I can hypnotize, I'll do that in a room so we can go straight into the thing. And they put me straight to the exec producer.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You know, we went past, you know, the 5,000 people who've been sitting there all day. And we did it. It was hilarious. The problem, and it was a really hilarious experience. But the problem was I you know, it came to like, you know, why do you really want this? And I was like, oh, you guys called me. And then, like, I was like,
oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
I didn't have my story. They were like, you know what's on? I was like, well, I'm pretty happy with life. No, it was like, what would you do with the, you know, the, whatever it was, the $200,000 or whatever it was. And I was like, oh yeah, man, I'm a good traveler. And there's no, you've got to be pumping it into something.
Right.
Yeah, like
hilarious, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I mean, I
wanted a story.
I didn't have a story.
Really. Yeah, yeah.
It was really funny. We walked out of there with that. But we couldn't have signed what they said. We had a TV pilot we'd already filmed.
Sure. There. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Already going, so. Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah. You know, close that piece up because we could do stories about this all day, and it's neat that some of you have been on, and there's way more people in the alumni group who have been on. You know, it's offered on TV right now, you know, for Variety Acts. This started with Colin saying, you know, how do I just do my act on, you know, regular news if it's not tied to something? And the truth is, that's what it was. The days of having, blessed, tapped on the forehead by the then current God, Johnny Carson, you know, in the 80s, you go on TV, the first 8 minutes after the monologue, you'd bring a Variety Act out. And a couple times that was us. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, you don't get to do that. So what is available? Someone's feeding back. I'm not sure who it is. Who's not muted? Let me mute just to see if it goes away. We don't get that anymore. We don't get that. Those opportunities don't exist. So what there is, you know, the AGTs, the gong shows, and it becomes up to us to cleverly edit and use the footage in a way that can show us. And, you know, maybe it's a little slice in a CVI. Maybe it's just like we did on America's Got Talent or the Gong Show. You know, these are things we'll be doing. And those little slips. So we get the social proof. We get the kind of authority piece that comes from having that. But, you know, we have to work with what there is right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, that happened. One of the bands I'm in, there's this show on this network called Access TV. It's called The World's Greatest Tribute Bands. Mm. And they this Bee Gees group that I'm with, they did a whole, it's one band for the whole show. So it's like an hour of you on television doing your show, and it's live from like the Whiskey a Go Go and Hollywood and all that stuff. Oh. So it was great. It was a real kind of cool rock and roll moment, and they got some great footage. And but it's funny, they can only air the episode once because of the music, you know, licensing issues. So they air it once. And then they send you, then they say you can't post the whole show up online, but you can, but we'll give you, and you can edit it and use the footage. That's kind of the deal. You don't get paid. You can use the footage and turn it in. So I know several people who've also done that show as well, who's used that footage, but they get tons of work out of it because they were on TV.
On TV.
They were on TV, man.
The all powerful on TV. Yeah. As seen on TV. So, you know, lots of good stuff came out of that. I think this is a valuable section of a talk about TV, and you know, the national holiday calendar, which I put on there, guaranteed. If you just want to notch something on your belt, get a TV show going on TV as an expert. Who knows where it's going to lead to? You know, if it's something you either believe in or something you want to talk about. You know, National Diva Day, go on and talk about that. You know, the importance of that. You know. Rock and roll, it's crazy to run through this thing, some of these holidays they have. I mean, who would you ever even think? But that's good enough. News loves that you've done the homework, and that you, yeah, I mean, look at us. This is all the places they advertise it on. Calendar at a glance. You know, looking at the summer. But some of these holidays are just so silly, but that's enough. You know, the people love the, I mean, oh, this is it, July. Yeah, this is it. Back to Jersey week. You know, heck. But if you're in Jersey, I sometimes think these are put together just for these kind of news segments or for reporters. Unlucky month for weddings, you know? So if you have somewhere you want to talk about weddings and you want to talk about hypnotizing your audience at a wedding into thinking it was the best day of their life, do it in July, you know, on the day that's unlucky month for weddings.
Do you see National Anti-Boredom Month?
That Anti-Boredom Month, right.
That would be perfect for entertainment stuff.
Yeah.
There was Nude Recreation Week under July, and Robert, I think if you do a pickpocket, what's a pickpocket?
Oh!
Seuss, did you just go inside my head? Because I was laughing about that. I'm thinking, I'm among adult people. I must be quiet.
Oh, no, that's
funny. No, you don't have to be quiet here. That's funny. You know, but yeah, what Colin said, you know, a National Anti-Boredom Month, you could easily pitch in a segment proposal to the news that every Monday in July is going to be our, you know, we're going to solve National Anti-Boredom Month. And you go on, and we have Colin Campbell here, who's coming on each Monday in July to make sure that we're never bored. And each Monday, a segment, you know, a proposal, basic ways to juggle, how to balance a peacock feather, you know, three ways to remember, you know, how to remember a dozen names in less than a minute, whatever it is, just, you know, something different, pitch it for each Monday. But any of these things that are like this a month, find National Grilling Month works perfect for, who's in our group? Oh, Tui, you know, who loves kitchen.
Oh my God. And fire.
And fire, right, right. You know, there he's got fire and cooking right in one. National Hot Dog Month.
Yeah, it seemed like Alan Rich, you know, doing National Anti-Boredom Month because he's got his whole Be Magical thing, you know, which I think there's this very timely thing now where everyone is online all the time, engaged in media all the time, but aren't actually taking life in the same way. You know, we're skimming the surface all the time. And so it's like I can super easily imagine how to tie that in. And especially with Alan doing the Be Magical.
But I tell you, these are plenty for a segment proposal. And you just call the person on the phone, do exactly like I showed on the module. Hey, for National Hobo Week, August 11th through 14th, I want to show people how three ways to live more comfortably if you're homeless, if you find yourself stuck in it, whatever it is, you know. Or Robert, you know, National Hobo Week, you know, how to have everything you want just by hanging out with better crowds. No. So Elvis Week. So yeah, there's you know, plenty of ways.
I should tell you that I know several hobos.
What's that?
Is it now I should tell you that I know several hobos?
Yeah. Hey man, me too. Yeah. Wednesday. Yeah. So you know, plenty of ways to get on TV. You know, the next piece of this, and I'm I set the date on the calendar too, and I'll share this in the group. It's Wednesday when I'm back from my trip. Is Wednesday July 11th? Is that a Wednesday?
Yeah, July 14th should be, because I think Tuesday the 11th is the 12th.
Is that what it is?
It's the 12th. Tuesday's the 13th.
Okay.
Recall correctly.
Let me see. Let me stop that. Go here. It's
That's what I'm thinking.
July 12th is a Wednesday.
12th. Yeah.
Is that the one I put it for? Let me see if I. Oh, no, it's the 11th. I'm sorry, it's Tuesday. So we're doing it at the same time, 11 o'clock on Tuesday, July 11th. So if you want to mark that, you'll be ahead of the group. And
what is that we're doing?
We're doing a long module on passive income, and I'll talk about how TV appearances are part of that. I'm talking about everything, really. Take you inside my 30-day sugar-free course. And just my goal in that is to show you guys what we can do when we bring our abilities to entertain and to hold an audience's attention to any topic we want to teach. I take you inside and show you how the money's made, how people pay, the sales funnels that bring them in. It's a lot, but it's something I love teaching to you guys because really as entertainers, we have such a leg up on regular talking heads. It's kind of a, you know, it's like starting a 100-yard dash at the 70-yard line.
Dude, it's amazing. It's amazing what people, like the experts that are out there calling themselves experts that have like zero personality. I mean, it's so cool. You know, like it's fun watching you do your 30-day sugar-free thing because there's so many people kind of in and out of that health space, you know, as expert gurus, but you have some personality and you bring a flair to it. That's totally unique. So I'm totally in agreement with you on that one.
Right. Good. There. Yeah, and we'll get into it, you know, whether it's a stop smoking program, ways to entertain kids, you know, that there's plenty of those holidays where Suzanne could go onto a TV show and talk about, you know, National Kid Day, appreciate your kid, inspire a kid day. There's just tons of those. So, you know, and if you wanted to start a small little membership site, newsletter, community, and these things are always built. The sugar one was built out of a passion and, well, just going into where we're going to go in the module, but you know, it was built out of a passion, looking for a need, filling the need, seeing, making sure I could give stuff away. You know, always an important step that so many people step miss before they see if they can sell something. See if you can give it away in exchange for an email address. And once you know you can do that, then it's time to at least move into a sale. But yeah, don't start with a sell. Sale. It's a little tricky on that.
Did you? You're familiar with the Millionaire Messenger?
Yeah.
Brendan Burchard.
Brendan Burchard, of course. Yeah.
Messenger.
I have highly book,
recommend everyone read The Millionaire Messenger. I turn people onto that book all the time. So if you're interested in something and want to turn it into a business, read that book.
Yeah.
I went to a 4-day seminar with Brendan Burchard, and it was all about turning your yeah, your passion to a business.
Yep. Experts Academy. Was that it? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, did you go to that? Cool.
Yeah.
Was that in San Jose?
Yeah, I think it was in San Jose.
Yeah, I got invited to that and I didn't go. I just, you know, it's funny. I got my own bias around that. I have a hard time sitting in rooms when a ticket's too cheap, you know? Like the one I went to for TV, it was 10 grand. I knew it wasn't going to be 4 days of upsells to buy people's programs. I just, when a 4-day conference costs $97, I almost like I can't expose my brain to that many upsells.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah, I just get so crazy. You know, their whole goal is to get 1,000 people in the room and money's made on the back end of that. But yeah, if Brendan has a $5,000 1-day mastermind, I'll go to that. I love that. I'd rather just pay for one person and, you know, and learn.
I think Experts Academy is like $3,000 or something like that for like the
two. $2,000. Yeah.
$2,000. So, but yeah. He does love the upsells, but it's the same thing, you know, that we're going to be doing online is to have some sort of, you know, have that funnel, have that module where we're giving something away at the top part of the funnel and then we're whittling them down to the higher ticket program. You know, although there's a new school of thought right now along the internet marketing communities, you might see the stuff, Barry, that, you know, people just going straight for the kill, you know, go for the high ticket items. You know, there's a lot of coaches out there preaching that whole thing.
It depends. You know, and we'll talk about this in the module, but it's so market dependent. You know, if you're in the cesspool that is teaching people how to make money online, that's a whole different culture than actually teaching somebody, you know, how to book gigs in their life, how to make macrame, how to cook cakes. You know, those people aren't exposed to that. How to quit up sugar. You know, my people are 95% women between 37 and 50 and 64 in the Midwest. They're not exposed to much marketing garbage. So, you know, it just depends on who you're going to talk to. And there's a world to learn there. And we'll talk about some of it, but not all of it. But the internet marketing niche itself is a little bit of a cesspool.
It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah, it's real tricky. So stay with the clean ones who have been around a long time. Yeah. Let me just see. Anyone put any questions in here or want to post any?
I have some.
Yeah, jump in, man.
Let's see.
Oh, my God, Meg. That's an incredible story. I hope you'll share that. That's awesome. I was just reading this. Go ahead, Tui. Sorry about that. Oh, go ahead, Tui. Sorry about that.
Email a couple weeks ago, but it's in the week eight Q&A notes. Let's see, I have that here too. I'm trying to full screen you. It's not working, so I can't look at my. What I'm trying to look at on the computer. There we go. All right. So Q&A, and you had under me, that was one where we had just a small group. Yep. And you wrote something that was not something we had talked about online, where you said, stop looking Midwestern charm and big stage talent, direct your corporate event or association conference. And wondering where you, was that just a thought that popped in your head? Did you have a specific place you thought? Saw me using that.
Yeah, let me
look that for the link we're talking about at the time, or just
I think I'll remember that was on week eight.
Yeah,
and that was just in the notes that I had below the live Q&A replay.
Yep, yeah, it's right down there.
Let me take a look. Let me look for Tui. There you are, finding. Oh yeah. Oh, so stop looking. That's when I was talking about, you know, just possible headlines. You know, quit looking around. And there is something. I mean, we all in this country love something about the Garrison Keillors of the world, you know, kind of that Midwestern charm thing. And there's a place for that in the corporate market. It's very safe. It's a, you know, Dan and I always had this great line. I'm sure buddies, John and Owen would agree with this too, but the closer our show takes place to growing corn, to where corn is growing, the better we do. You know, it's really funny. It's like, those are people who are, oh, did Tui drop off? I'm sitting here realizing he's gone. I'm trying to look at him. Oh, okay. Shoot. Tui's gone. We'll come back to that when he's alive. But yeah, for the corporate market, it's he asked his question and left. He's like, I'll take my answer on the air. And then, like the old radio days. Yeah.
I would agree with you on that for anything too. I mean, it's
There you go. Now, somehow, it seems like maybe your internet is a little shaky.
I'm here now.
Perfect. So what I was...
I got to plug in the power cord that I brought out with me.
Oh, God. Nice. Yeah.
Sorry. I lost you right as you were looking it up.
Perfect. So, you know, I was just saying there's something that Dan and I always said in our act, and John and Owen, I'm sure, would agree, but the closer the stage that we're performing on is to where corn is growing, the better we do. And there's something about Midwestern charm that plays really well in corporate audience. So I think when I wrote that, I was just thinking, you know, call it, own it. I mean, you're there, you're in the Midwest, you're even that picture on your website, you know, sitting by the grass and the ladder. It's like, you know, Midwestern charm, big stage talent, direct to your corporate event or association. Yeah, I put that in bold because I was just really thinking that's like a headline you could even play with.
And it's, yeah, that's also your personality, Tui. Like you fit, like your show is very like down to earth, charming, fun, like kind of a regular guy who shouldn't be able to do what you do.
Yeah, like my memory of seeing you perform, like, you know, granted it was probably 30 years ago, you know, when I used to see you at a festival, but, you know, it was just like, you know, here's the next thing that your mind's barely going to understand that I'm going to do. And it was no ego. It was very humble. It was, and it was just huge talent. So I think that's what was running through my brain when I put that one on there for you. And I would play around with that, use that as a route to start playing with some other headlines. Yeah. Did you do anything with your website yet, Tui, or is it still in brewing stage?
In brewing, actually, this morning I was going to sit down and do, look, you know, okay, am I going to just do Squarespace for something, or am I actually going to learn to use that WordPress template I bought and try and get that as a priority next week and a half? And then I looked at today's homework, not planning to do it, and went, oh, what the heck? I'll you just for the force. I'm going to commit to like, you know, 20 minutes and see if I can't actually come up with the stuff just to prove to myself, you know, quick. And then sat on that for about an hour and a half and just have all kinds of ideas actually for TV and everything else.
Awesome.
On a specific direction, other than the main juggling show thing.
Yeah. And that's funny. You know, a second ago we were looking at that national holidays and that grilling thing, you know, grilling month. That's awesome. I mean, it'd be great to have you do a recipe each Monday morning or something, or, you know, every Friday, you know, a weekend recipe. It'd be on morning news. You'd rock it. You'd just rock it.
And that was where all my thinking was going. I have, a bunch of ideas on.
I'd say when I saw Michael Godot, we were at a trade show once together, and he was doing this. It was with his camera when 700 frames per second was an unimaginable state of the art at NAB. He did this thing where he juggled a torch, a frying pan, and an egg, and they videotaped him from the side. And they had the, so he juggled the frying pan, the egg, and the torch, and he'd throw the egg up, catch it in the pan, and have the torch underneath it. You know, an old Flying Karamazov type ending. But boy, the camera that grabbed that egg breaking at 700 frames a second, you actually got to see the egg kind of bend shape before it cracked. And it was great demo for that booth. But yeah, being able to just combine little things like that for National Grilling Week would be way fun. So, dude, score four of them in August.
Yeah, part of what it got me thinking is I'm actually, for the first time ever, working the Minnesota State Fair just 2 days. And so all the local news do their shows from the State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of thought, well, I could maybe get something proposed to them before I get there. And whether it's, you know, specifically about me doing my show since I'm there for 2 days. I mean, initially I went to the whole cooking thing because that was where my mind was at the time anyway. Because I could still do it just as, because they do that a lot at the fair. You know, they have all those different food booths and things. But that it's such, they're so trying, you know, in a situation like that, it's constantly trying to have people who are at the food things on the show. And, you know, rather than they might find me, go find them. And my brain is so with different ideas and things.
Yeah, and instead of, you know, just hoping they come across you or trying to have them get you at the fair, get into the studio, you know, to have those lights and cameras and just do a segment proposal that, you know, I'm performing at the thing. They'll already have some segments put aside for the state fair when it's coming to town. Just take their mind off one of them. Here's one you don't need to worry about.
Yeah.
Be great.
Yeah, I want to really second that too. Like, I love the idea of you being featured in the studio. And then if they have do a callback to you at the fair, great. But it's like, I want you to be affiliated with the studio setting, more than I want you to be affiliated with all the shit show that a fair is. And, you know, kind of, you know, to me, the state fair is kind of Walmart, you know, and the studio is Neiman Marcus. It's like, get yourself into Neiman Marcus, not into Walmart, nice. You know? And like, say, if they do the callback to you at the fair, then great. But at that point, you're already an expert, as opposed to like, here's just some random juggler guy with 10,000 right. other.
And it, you know, it's the great parallel to the wonderful Pukin Snot line. You know, you'll be in with the crap, but clearly above it, you know, the tidy bowl man. It's great. Yeah. Love the way he, they used to do that joke, but that would be being at the studio talking about the fair. That's really cool.
And on the, I think it was last module, one of the modules, maybe it was two modules ago. You mentioned something you were going to, at that, whenever you recorded that in the past, that you were going to be talking to some guy who was doing Facebook pages. And is that something that you still exists in?
Oh, Facebook, Facebook ads?
No, it was, you said you had some guy who was killing it with Facebook pages. You did, it was like a little offhand comment and that you were going to be interviewing him, whatever year that was. And I just went, oh, that sounds interesting. Is that, that happened? Is it out there? Is it?
Oh, was this from a past module?
Yes. You know, one yeah. where you've done the live Q&A with someone, you know, a year or two or however long ago.
Yeah. God, I'll think about that.
I think it was the Sean Hayes when you were talking, or it was after that, maybe you said.
Okay.
Somewhere there you
I think
very quickly that you were going to
be. You know, I think I do remember watching somebody do that. It was very, very niche. He'd start a group like, you know, Gun Owners for Trump, and he would just post stuff, you know, and this is, you know, modern day stuff he would do, but something that's so controversial, you know, that's not controversial, but I mean, Peace Lovers for Trump or something. But he would start something that's against conventional wisdom, okay. build a Facebook page around it, bring traffic to that page, exactly. And then he would have right in the page, you know, where you can have, let me share this.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It wasn't about us trying to work on our social presence.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know, building a Facebook following and then building a list from there, that's basically what I was talking about in that one. I don't remember what the guy was right now, but it's the same as using the leads of a Facebook page. Let me see, I have one here. 30 Day Sugar Free. I think this one has about 56,000 people on it now. And then having a sign-up button right here, which... see, I'm the guy logged in, so it's just taking me to here. But this takes them to a join waitlist page on my site. So he was doing something like that. When you have a big Facebook page, say, hey, get my latest tips on how to, you know, love peace and be a whatever it is. But this just sends them to a waiting list where they can sign up. So it was using the power of a Facebook page, and I did institute. That's funny. I didn't remember where that came from. But using this sign up button on a Facebook page, it has some good traffic. Is that 55,000? Yeah.
And then, when I was looking at what I'm going to do website wise and just the whole landing, you know, individual landing page things, and I don't know if you even use it and know, but something like Squarespace and you're doing your individual landing page, is that actually making like another website on your Squarespace account for that one page, or are you able to do those in the midst of your regular website?
Oh yeah, no, you just stick those in the midst of your website, but don't add them to the navigation bar.
Okay, that's just one of their options. And
yeah, I think I may have some of those, but I don't know. This is a Squarespace site. Oh, I'm not sharing anymore. This is a Squarespace, and I don't know if we have any hidden pages on here.
My Squarespace site has hidden pages.
Okay, good. You can do it and just.
Yeah, searchable content or whatever there. Yeah, so like you scroll down through, just like you just did that scroll, and you can see, you know, kind of the top six key pages, but then someone can dig further into the website and you can make some of those hidden or just send it as a private link to someone or whatever.
Just not put them on this up here.
Right.
You have to choose what's on this nav page. So yeah, you would have one, tuiwilson.com/whatever. Nabisco, right. You know, and just not have it on. So yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah, Squarespace did seem to be the better way to go as opposed to the, I don't know, whatever the one that Colin said last time.
Oh, strikingly,
yeah. Is that, yeah, you'll relate to one or the other, yeah.
Like, only gave you the option to have three domains. Well, it depends on how much you spend.
Okay.
You have, like, a domain forwarded to there as opposed to a free site under their domain. Mm-hmm.
process too. All right.
Yeah, you bet. That's great.
All right, I think that's all my questions.
I'll look forward. When you got any dates in mind of when you want to do a new website that we could look at?
Yes. Like next week and a half or sooner.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, especially if I'm doing something like Squarespace.
Right.
I know enough of what I built the last one from scratch and Adobe Go Live, so Squarespace would be easy. That also took me 3 years ago.
Excellent. Great. Well, that's really good.
Yeah.
Hey, Cliff, what's brewing in you from when we worked last a week or so ago? I got on with Cliff, and I'd love to share some of that with you guys, actually. He has three appearances kicking off a library and conference, and boy, we just brainstormed the hell out of ideas for you to do.
Yeah, we've got a good template. Sorry, I just got 4 wisdom teeth out yesterday afternoon, so I'm not speaking a lot.
Yeah, you can stop. I'm sorry about that. I had no idea.
No, it's not so bad. but yeah, I was wondering, would it be a good idea to post just like the kind of the template that we talked about? Would that help people? Or
that'd be awesome. Yeah, if you wanted. But
they're 10, like a 10-minute get everyone energized before the keynote speaker each morning of the conference. So
yeah, let me. I'll fill something you don't have to talk about. But Cliff grabbed the reins early in Showbiz Blueprint. And he said, "I'm going to this conference," and I think in one of the early sessions we said, "Why don't you talk about doing a morning wake up, a general session morning wake up before people go into their individual tracks." And he called, they agreed to have it. And then he went to the great place, you know, it was, he did the ready, fire, aim. And now we're at the aiming spot. So he was ready, he fired. And now we're going to get to aim it. So we just built a 10-minute template that every morning he can do, and just fill in the blanks. So really it's just a solid template. I can dig that up actually. Real quick, and we could even talk about it in a group here, because this is something everyone can do when they know they have a conference coming to town. Whether you're going to do a song every morning, a talk, a lesson, a trick. He was very lucky in that Cliff Library. He was really lucky in that the theme of their conference was 3 words, and there's 3 mornings. So, you know, you can't beat it any more easily than that. Let me share the screen here with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit bigger. Here's what we talked about. So it was there's no reason all of us can't do this. So it was this innovate, inspire, connect. So the template for each show was basically a high energy entrance, you know, whatever it was, something that says this ain't normal. We did examples all the way from when Raspini's come out, I'm basically on fire. I'm like the bull banging against the gate to get out, to Avner, the eccentric, who comes out, you know, pushing a broom, just really low key with some. So finding something there that's definitively him. And then it's the theme of the day. So, you know, on day one, he'd go with innovate. And then a story of him as a librarian, 1 to 2 minutes maximum with at least 1 or 2 laughs per minute. You know, it's really important at that to work in something where they can see themselves and have a laugh to break it up. And then a prompt. Get them to turn around, find another piece, own a piece of their brilliance, how they've affected the world, whatever that is, you know, for the innovate, how have you done innovation, how have you inspired, how have you connected. Day one, they would do that just sitting and turning. These are at round tables, these people, which quite often they are. Second day, I'd push the envelope a little bit, have them stand up, talk to someone, you know, either at a different table, whatever. And then on the third day, I challenge them to really go out and connect with someone they don't know, you know, in a way that they don't expect. So this, we had some fun talking about this one. And the fifth piece of the template, a trick that illustrates the theme, something visual that they could take that illustrates one of these 3 themes here. And then a call to action. How do you want to use this today to play bigger? You know, that's just a sample of it, but how do you want to innovate today? How do you want to inspire? What do you want to take home from this conference to connect with for you, your community, your staff, whoever you're working with? So this is great. And this was just some brainstorming we had because I had to learn a little bit about him. So. You mind if I share this?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
People, cool.
Yeah.
Let me just share this with you guys here. Get shareable link. Anyone else can view, copy, and I'll stick this in our notes here. Okay, cool. Oops, darn it, I just closed the document. There it is. It's back. The wonders.
Cool. Just to clarify the conference, the context there, this is for an upcoming conference. And is this one that Cliff, that you're already going to be at, and then you're offering to do this extra thing? Is this a proposal that's going out?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a conference I'm going to anyway, as a librarian. And I just saw it as an opportunity to get in front of a conference. Yeah. So, and speak, so get some experience. And Barry recommended getting some footage from it, so I'm going to try to get some video of me up there.
Definitely. And then, Barry, is this the sort of thing, like, if there's a conference that I'm not necessarily affiliated with, but a, you know, something that I'm like, oh, I would love to go speak at that conference. I feel like this is a good audience for me. I want to, like, I've got ideas for them.
CVI it, man.
Something like this, yeah.
Just put them through the 5-step sales funnel. You know, talk to someone there, send them a little graphic of some ideas, follow up with another phone call.
Yep.
Drop them a summary and then CVI it. Yeah. Perfect. It's, and Cliff just happened. I remember it was in one of the early calls where you had mentioned I'm going to this conference, and I think I just like jumped up, said, yeah, do it. And you probably just jumped without ever thinking about it. And then you got the okay on it. So that was good.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. Good. That's great. Yeah. Good, guys. Where do we want to go? Do we want to? Anyone else got anything they want to? Hang on, Matt, and Catherine want to go back to sleep, I imagine. But
I kind of wonder something.
Nope.
Yeah.
Just as we're running down or whatever. So, what of this is good to share with other people? There's this other magician I was trying to connect with. He was like, oh yeah, I'd be curious to hear what Barry is offering or whatever. So what, like, you know, we want to share something we've learned. We don't want to give them a course, but yeah, maybe get them interested in the course. Are there pieces that are fine? I don't want
to. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's a good time to mention that. You know, I think I even mentioned in the last video when I was talking about integration, it gets real tricky to talk about this stuff in piecemeal, because it's a lot of it's out of context. And as I spun the tail on there, you know, you say something, you're not quite clear on it because you haven't implemented it yourself. Uh-huh. So you're talking about theory, and then it starts to not make sense to you. They'll say something back. It doesn't make sense to them. So yeah, I would advise you really to just kind of sit with this stuff, implement everything. And then when you start getting results and people say, hey, what's going on? You know, send them my way if they want to come in and talk about it next year. But it's you know, it's definitely something you guys are doing. It, showing up every week and doing the work because you invested in it. And it's really easy in this day of information to just get stuff. And yeah, I take a risk. Do I know that these MP3s aren't somewhere else on somebody's podcast who doesn't have anything to do with it? Probably what it is. And I think what I get out of it is time with you guys and sharing this experience, having this ongoing experience. And I think that's I would have loved an opportunity like that when I was before I was doing all this stuff in my career. I think that's probably the biggest, as I wrote in the alumni group when Anthem posted, you know, man, to be doing this at 21, holy shit, I would have loved that, man. That's a really cool gift. Yeah. I like having that around. So yeah, I get it. But you know, when you start getting bigger results and booking better shows and taking off and people say, man, what are you doing different? You go, it's too much to explain, but go put your name and email at Showbiz Blueprint and see if you want to talk about it when he does it again. So,
and you also have this 7-day course, if I remember right, on get more corporate gigs or something like this. Maybe something to get a peek inside of what you are doing. And
definitely,
like this maybe is something, Cliff, maybe you can share something like this if you want to.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. That's a really good thing to share. That's I didn't, it's funny, you know, let me see something, getmorecorporategigs.com/20. That's probably the best link for that I put in the box there. It's really hilarious. I did that when I first broke my collarbone in 2007. I started playing with that idea. I knew nothing about marketing. And then I realized later, that 7-day course I built, I basically told how to do everything. When I teach passive income on the 11th, when we do our module, I will stress to you the importance of, in your early courses and your free giveaways, to paint the picture of opportunity, of transformation that people can get by working with you. Talk a lot about the what and the why. Save the how for the paid course. And I didn't do that in my 7-day course because I didn't know that. So basically in that 7-day course, I just kind of showed how to do everything. I did I wasn't smart enough to know to show the what and why. I kind of just jumped right into here's how you do it. So that's fine. It doesn't matter.
But Barry, this course is basically the reason why I'm here, you know, so it still brought me in because I got questions and more questions. And
yeah, it's awesome, man. I love it. And I hope it was worth the ride, you know, get what you came from. So
it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on, you know, the differences between providing value and giving away the farm, you know, when it comes to these kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
especially if you want to try to aim for more of a higher ticket kind of a course, you know, you want to provide a bunch of value up front, you know, give away really valuable content for free, but then there's the balance of, you know, then what are people paying for at that point? You know?
So. Yeah. And it's funny, my opinion in that is too many people are afraid of giving away the what and the why and really helping people see the possibilities and then making a reasonable offer to do more. You know, some people just hold back too much and it's, yeah, they're not gonna run a business that way. I mean, my real belief is that at the end of every free module you do, and I'll talk about this more, but at the end of every free module, people need to feel positive about that they have a chance to do something, that they have an action step they can take right now, and that they have some idea of what's coming next. And if you can nail those three, whether it's written, video, audio, however you deliver it, you've done a really good job. But it has to be something that they can do right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggie for that.
As we maybe have already a look in this direction, and I would come back if nobody has another question to what I left out in the beginning. It's like I was writing you and you wanted share some tools how to make like an upsell. Because I remember when we bought this course over here, there was like a second page. I didn't take the offer, but I think I wanted to pay already, and then the next page popped up with like the 1 hour teaching or something like this with this course. And what are the tools you're using to do exactly this?
Sure, and I'll walk through all these on the module.
The module.
Yeah.
Can you just give me a hint? Because the module will be when? In July, right?
Yes, July 11th, we're going
to
do that.
It's too late for me. I need to know it now. So
that's
too already.
Yeah, so let me see. Oh, so I know what you're talking about. This is on, and this is a wonderful tool. I've been using it just over a year right now. It's called SamCart, SamCart, my favorite shopping cart that I've ever used. Lot of training in there, but this is the page that it came to after you said I wanted to buy Showbiz Blueprint, and it came to this. This is all down now, but I'm just showing you a backstage. This is them where you can pick the plan you want to pay, and then there was this one time they called them cart bumps, one time offer, and this was four private sessions. And this is, oh yeah, yes, add private coaching. So there was just a button for this, and it just changed price. So that's the tool I use for that, Renee. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, it's that one, and I didn't realize that it was four private sessions. I thought it was one. damn it. Anyway, yes, that's the tool, but I thought it was on the second page, but it's right after.
Yeah, it's right on the shopping cart.
Okay.
And this, you know, it's wonderful for a couple reasons. I mean, it's wonderful because, you know, people are ready to engage in whatever you're offering, and it's another chance for them to say, hell, man, I want to do more. You know, I want to go beyond this. And it's great. I think the conversion rate on that thing is always, if it's a decent offer, minimum 25%. And, you know, in some markets, it can be upwards 50, 75.
And let me add a question. I am able to put there some more information into that card, let's say it this way. Is it possible to add a video, for example?
Sure. You know what? There's two different ways to do this in here, and I can. In fact, this is good that you're asking this. I'll go inside of this in my module. But here, this is just called a cart bump. This is BUMP. This is a very simple way to do it. And then there's a whole other thing in here called. Let me see what I can show you here. There's a whole system in here called upsells. So you can go into an entire upsell funnel, and we have one in the sugar free. So this, right when they hit buy, it actually starts an upsell funnel, which is a whole new landing page. And people can add it right there before they've even checked out. Or they can just hit no thank you, you know. So that's, I think, what you're talking for about.
Yes, yes. They basically go into the cart. They press buy, right, or something like this. And we land on another landing page with a new offer.
Yeah. I don't know if I can simulate it here. Let me see if I'm too logged in. I don't know. Maybe
I just want to reconfirm. That's what you would just
say. The right? Two differences are they both happen in SamCart. One is called a cart bump. That's just a button. And one is called an actual upsell, an upsell funnel. So,
so basically, I'm in the cart, I press buy, and I'm going to land on the next page.
Yeah, let me
see. Before the checkout.
I think I would have to fill all this out, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Let me just see if I can do this quick.
You're going to buy from yourself?
I'm going to buy from myself. I don't know if I'm going to. Yeah, I think I can do this. Oh, I don't even know what the number is here. Maybe this. Let me see if I do this or if it checks first. But I may have just bought for myself. Let me see. Yeah, it does. So this is great.
Congratulations, my friend. Yep. This is Barry.
And this is a video that's running. You hear this?
Sugar-free. You're in, and I'm so grateful you've joined
us. You hear that?
Throughout my 5 years challenge, I've met some amazing people.
Yeah.
People like...
So, okay, this is great. This is actually what I'm looking for.
Joey, Amanda,
yeah.
Michelle.
And we've tested this with and without the scroll bar. We've tested this with and without a scroll bar, and it's converting decent, but this is from a $97 product, and I think this upsell on this page is $497. If I hit add to my, yeah, this is one time fee of just $497. So we're offering something that's five times as expensive as the first buy, and people are buying it. So it's really, really a good psychology, and I've played with this a lot, but this is the only place I'm not using the cart bump. I'm actually using an upsell funnel, and you can have this go again. If they turn this down, no thanks, I can do it on my own. This can go to a $297 product.
Ah.
Or if they buy it, it can go to here's a one-time offer. Yeah. How obnoxious do you want to get?
I hope it doesn't get too annoying. Yeah. But it's a cool tool. This is what I was looking for. Okay.
Yeah.
I have to check the prices then, because I think it's not a free tool.
Same card. Yeah, I'll put that in there. So yeah, that's what I use on that one.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Any other options of that? Do you know the other options?
Sure. There's what if I use, there's the simplest is PayPal.
Yeah. They do something like that, yeah.
Absolutely. You would just handle the mechanics of it a little differently. Instead of when they click the buy button, instead of having that be the buy button for PayPal where it actually takes them to the cart, you would take the second page.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there's a button on there that says add this or, you know, no thanks, I'm fine on my own. Same thing. So you can duplicate it without any
issue. Okay. Okay. And why do you decide to go with SamCart?
Simplicity, you know, and then analytics are great too. You know, just seeing how many people come in. The analytics are insane. Mm-hmm. How many people come in, how many buy the upsell, how many go down, monthly continuity. It's really good.
Okay.
So for that kind of thing, it's
okay. Okay.
Renee, if you're looking for other options, there's another one called One Shopping Cart, which
that's as old as life, isn't it, man? That thing.
That's like one of the first ones, but a lot of people have migrated over to SamCart as well.
Yeah. Yeah. One Shopping Cart, man, that is what memories from that.
So you would suggest not to using this one.
You can check it out.
Okay.
It's still there.
Okay.
It really depends on what you want to do. I mean, if you're running a funnel like what Barry's doing, where you have these upsells and different things, you know, different programs, you might need something pretty involved. But if you're not going to do that so much, then you could probably get away with something simpler too.
It's basically this, and it's nice to hear, Barry, that it works, because you have a small product and you upsell it to what you said, like five times
the amount, yeah.
Time packs. And that's very good that I actually hear from someone who is doing this that this is working, because I was just guessing it works. But if you say it works.
I'll tell you, I mean, there's two telling comments in that. One is, you know, me when I joked and I said, try not to get too obnoxious. And I think you said, you know, I hope it doesn't go on forever. But it's funny, through the eyes of our prospect, they're literally, if people are interested in it and want more, there can't be too much.
Mm-hmm.
it's impossible. It won't. But you know, sometimes I don't know if you guys ever buy any products where they just keep having upsells and upsells, and it's too much for me. It gets crazy. You know, sometimes I'll get one or I don't, and you know, offer what you know you can over deliver on. Make sure everything you offer you can deliver at least 10 times the value on. You know, like this course, $2,000. I see even with basic implementation, $20,000 should be a joke, you know, to make back. Sugar-free, you know, $97. Was that 10 times that's $1,000? You know, I don't know what people value their life or their health at, but that's pretty damn easy to assume 10 times the return on that. So, you know, if you can do that, great, you know. And private coaching's great. The thing I'm doing with people for 497, and that's part of a group. That's not even I want to step further on this. They're not. I don't even meet with them. I have alumni who are running those coaching groups, so they get half the money, and I just take half of it. So I'm not even talking to the people who are doing it. There's, I think, in that upsell, there's five or six. We update this video whenever we get someone new in here that people have an option to meet with. So yeah, I'll save this video.
So actually, you save the time, but still get the money. That's really
good. Right. So yeah, and I say, hey, here's a coach of ours, Joey, who's done the program. He's been alumni from, you know, 2.5 years ago. I give the date that he did the challenge. He's also a fitness expert. He runs a gym. So if you want to focus on fitness, do that. Here's Michelle. She co-created the program with me. You know, if you want to do coaching with her, she's really into the lifestyle of it. You know, another one's into cooking. Victoria's a certified GAPS nutritionist. Louise is in the UK, so if you're over in that part of the world, it may work out better for time. She's 100% no nonsense, you know, no coach training whatsoever. She's balls to the wall. She'll get you to quit, you know. So I just do some sort of character traits about each one, and then after they buy that, they go to a page where they get to select which coach they want to work with, and I'm out of the loop.
That's great. That's really great. But in this group, though, I mean, you upselling, you know, for the private coaching, I think that's really good. As long as your upsell offers don't kind of cover for the fact that your anchor product isn't complete. You know, you see a lot of times where people upsell stuff and it's kind of to make up for the fact that there's not a whole lot of meat in the main product. So as long as your upsell complements your main product and doesn't kind of, you know, make up for it.
Fill in the holes that it's missing, right?
Yeah. Like that's why private coaching is great. It's like what you've done, Barry. Like, okay, this group is pretty comprehensive. 10 weeks, there's a lot of value out of that. And then the upsell is the private coaching. Obviously, that's not to make up for whatever the program lacks.
For sure.
Truly an upsell.
No, yeah, that's just, you know, you want to do this kind of thing and it's great. So, yeah. So,
thank you very much.
You bet, man. Anyone else? You know, I have a couple minutes at the end. I'd love to just hear if there's any, you know, kind of like parting commitments people would like to do at the end of this 10 weeks and go on record for that. I can keep on this document and kind of say, you know, check in with you in a handful of weeks. How's this coming?
You know, if I may, I just kind of wanted to add this for the group in general, just speaking for myself as somebody who's taken a lot of these kinds of courses before. It's really easy to get overwhelmed, and especially for me. There's all this information and it's 10 weeks. It's really great to go back and kind of, I'm planning on just starting from day one again and just picking, you know, what I can implement and where I can implement and all that stuff. And look, I'm going to be honest, I haven't gone through, you know, as anywhere near the homework assignments and all that would have, you know, that I probably should. And had every one of us gone through all of the program modules exactly as it was laid out, we'd be 1,000 miles ahead of where we were. And I know we probably all haven't done that. So speaking for myself, I'm going to go back and hit the spots that I, you know, that I think I need to do. And the ones that I have implemented have already brought some positive returns. I know I've definitely certainly made back my investment just on implementing a couple of the very small ideas, and I haven't really rolled it out yet, but, awesome. You know, but definitely. So that's kind of where I am. And I know that I'd spoken to, you know, the accountability groups about some overwhelm as well, you know, and what I just said was, look, just take what you can always go back and review stuff. Take what you think you can handle now and just start putting it into action. So
I love it. Yeah. I think that's a great one for all of us just to, you know, kind of say I put everything on the folders in audio format. You can grab those and listen to them. But you know, this is a radical lifestyle shift. It's it's an operating system reboot. You know, when you turn on your phone some days and it says you got a new operating system, like this is it for our brains. And, unfortunately, we can't just press a button and have it installed. We don't have that matrix technology yet. But
I had the thought the other day. Oh, we can. That'll be kind of nice when Showbiz Blueprint ends, because then I can start doing Showbiz Blueprint.
Oh!
How long is it gonna stay up? Like,
though? Yeah, you'll have it forever. It's there.
I love you, Barry.
Yep. It's not going away because there's I know. I love that line too. That's great. When it ends, I can start doing it, and that's funny. That's really a great way to think about it. And I know I spoke about it during the courses. You know, what can you take right now and put into use, and what do you need to put in the fridge, and what goes in the freezer? You know, and can you rotate that stock in, which is what Jeff's saying he wants to do. So,
I also think I got so much knowledge now what I didn't see before, and of course because I'm involved in things. But still, I know it. You planted the seeds. I know it exists. And whenever I come in some situations, for example, like with the TV, if I think, okay, now it's time, then I just know where to find it. And then I just look it up, and then I implement it. So, and now I implement the stuff I can, and I'm happy as it is.
Awesome. Yeah. What I'm hearing in that is your head kind of has a table of contents of tools. When you need them, you can access them and get into that. Yeah, that's great.
Hey, Gary, yeah, I was wondering, is your contract and rider still on the site, still at the members site?
I hope so. I know for sure it's in the alumni group. It's in the files.
Okay.
Let me see something. SBBP alumni. You go to SBP alumni, go into that. Hit files. I think I'm pretty sure I have a blank contract and a writer in there.
Is it the Facebook page, or are you looking somewhere else now?
No, I'm on the Facebook page. Here, I'll show you guys. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of great stuff in here that's just kind of grown over the years.
I didn't know that there's...
if you come into the group and hit files over here.
Ah, okay.
You can do this on the phone as well. I know that. Yeah, here's a recipe. Oh, this is my questionnaire I use for... that
right,
other members' contracts they've put in here over the time. Raspini Rider. Oh, this is an old one. I should replace this. Let me make a note to myself to replace that contract. Let me see.
Hey, everybody, I've got to go catch my flight, but I just wanted to say thanks. It's been a fantastic 10 weeks, and thanks, Barry. This has changed my life.
Jim, so. Extra credit, man, for showing up from the airport. Thank you, dude, so much.
All right. Take care, guys.
You're awesome.
Can't wait thank to see you, Santa Claus University.
Have a nice flight, buddy.
Dude, and we look forward to seeing Santa Claus University. I'm not kidding, man.
I'll have it up. I'm working on it now.
Stay on.
I've already started sending people your way for that.
Oh, that's awesome, Sven. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Sending people your way. You got to get the opt-in page up.
I do have to get the opt-in page up. All right.
Yeah, you got
thanks, guys.
Cool, man.
Good nice flight. Bye-bye.
Let me see if one of these says contract on it. Let me just search. Did I not put Raspini contract up here? I didn't. Okay, so let me just put a note to myself in our notes to update my rider in there. Update rider.
And I'm putting a new contract together, and it's about time I had a rider also.
It is, yeah. It is about time. And did I email, or did Betsy email you those the other day?
No.
No way.
I don't think so. Maybe, and I haven't seen him. My email has been completely kablooey. So
she did, because she copied me on it right here.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll put these links. I'll put these right here. Yeah.
Thank you. Great.
She sent it to you because she said sent to me. Is it okay to do that? And I.
Okay. Then I'll search my emails.
Maybe it was the part where I said hell no. No, that wasn't it. No, kidding. No question. Oh, wait, no. Oh, no, it wasn't the writer. It was no, she said you asked for the questionnaire and blank contract. Is that not true? I don't know. Oh, no, contract and writer. I think she just sent the wrong thing. I'll take care of it with you after this.
Great.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yep. No problem.
It was one of us dropped the ball. Okay, cool. That's good. So, you know, anyone else has anything they'd like to go public with owning up that they want to jump into or conquer or set as a stretch? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I'd like to actually say that my speech that I have got a really nice video for now, and I've actually sold it in now as well. I really need to write it. So. I think I, yeah, that's my thing is I've got a couple coming up now that we've actually booked in. So
I want you on this call that we're doing tomorrow night. You know, did you see it in the alumni group? Are you in there yet?
Yeah.
One of your countrymen, Julian Mather, he's doing he's been studying with what's the guy? It's an Australian guy, Church. Is that his last name? He teaches the art of keynoting, and he just did a week with him. He went to New York and did a thing with Michael Port, and he's just doing this Showbiz Blueprint Masterclass. You know, no product, no anything, but he's going to talk about the reality that he's learned about paid speaking. And, dude, what a time for you to watch this before you sit and write that speech.
Great.
Do you know Julian at all?
No, I don't. Oh, no.
God, he's such a great guy. He's got your great accent and everything. He's a totally cool guy.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, 5 o'clock our time, Thursday. I think it's 10 in the morning or so for you. So hopefully you can make that live. If not, the replay will be in the member area.
We'll be snorkeling the Great Barrier Reef then, unfortunately.
Oh, sad.
Wow.
So sorry to hear that.
we had a gig up around this way. Now we've got 2 or 3 days where we're just between gigs, so we're still in the area.
Oh, my gosh. How great. What a way better thing to be doing. So when you come out.
Replay. Yes, replay.
You grab the MP3 of that, and you can hear it on the flight home because I know Julian will.
Absolutely.
Yeah, love it.
I have one more. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you because it's been fantastic, and I know we've been quiet and people probably haven't known that we're part of the group, but we've implemented so much, but we still have so much more to implement. But this is in the business already.
Absolutely,
It's been fantastic. So,
Does anything rise to the top, Catherine, being the business mind of the group? Does anything that we've talked about rise to the mind as like, man, that's one thing I'd really like to get at?
Well, so far the funnels have been amazing.
Okay.
Just the time saving and not messing around with having to physically make every contact. But I think we're going to do a lot of work on the proposals. I've been getting some research done so that we can start targeting the people we want to be dealing with.
Awesome.
And that's our next big thing. And I'm really looking forward to getting my teeth into that.
God, you guys are great. You guys represent for me like a real life personification of something that I just think is so cool. You know, you had this corporate background, and then you just said, man, here's this business where I can do basically what I'm doing, but for a family where, you know, on days off, I can be snorkeling the Great Barrier Reef instead of my husband somewhere else doing. So I love it, man. I'm just really fired up by that.
It's great. It's such a lifestyle change from what I was doing before, but it works and it's really good. And we have the flexibility and the lifestyle. We got to the point where we were both working so much, we barely saw each other. And now we have a life.
Yeah.
We spend time together and work towards same thing.
Yeah.
And you can wake up at 4 and watch webinars from a hotel bed. It just rocks, man. I love it.
Yeah. Just to confirm, yes, we are actually in bed in the hotel room.
I recognize the standard issue hotel bedboard. Don't worry about it. It's the we've all seen many of those, man. I know. It's great. It's so awesome. So good for you guys.
Thank you so much.
Really cool.
It's like a big turning point for us in our businesses.
Thank you. Really, and I know I've kept you in energetically in each of these calls, and we've done them. I mean, I know the time change, and there's always one part of the world you got to pick on that can't do it. So,
We've also had a pretty crazy time, and Colin from our accountability group's in this call, and I don't think they've spoken to us in the same place once in the 10 weeks.
Yeah, that's the way it happens. Yeah, really cool.
So good.
Good. Maybe we'll, you know, what we should do is a Showbiz Blueprint South Pacific edition, and I'll wake up at 2 a.m. and you guys just get all people from down there, man. That would be so great. And it's 2 a.m. for me, and I'm like, that'd be awesome.
So I want to publicly say what I'm going to be up to so I can be held accountable. The holiday funnel is a big one for us. We're booked a lot up until January anyway, and so we're going to be looking forward to doing shows in November, January, February. I want to book at least 5 in January of just corporate holiday shows, more if possible, but that's my minimum.
We're going to be redoing our website. We're going to be, I'm working on producer landing pages.
Nice.
And, there's a couple of producers I'm talking to, and I'm just going to call them and say, hey, I'm going to make this really easy for you. I'm going to send you a link. I'll call them first, but ask, okay, if I do this, we'll make it easy. And so one of them is Frank Steck. You know him, nice. Barry?
Yep, I love Frank, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to get a better relationship going. He likes our show. We just haven't worked with him. But anyway, so that's another thing that I want to do. So those are the major ones.
Awesome. Hey, let me jump in one thing and bookmark the other things you want to say, because I want to hear more. But I'm telling everybody here, for producers like that you just, they're in your area, or you know them, or you've been introduced, or you know someone who can, just make a landing page for them that makes it so easy for them. There's no contact information on it except theirs. You know, even if you host it at somewhere that's an off-site, so it's not on your website, doesn't matter. Host it somewhere where people can't just get rid of the steck.htm and dedicated landing page. Or spend $12 and just say, you know, get a domain name that's them about you, you know. DangerCommitteeFrank.com. You know, $12 a year, throw it on a simple landing page where you do Instapage and send them the URL and say, hey, can you send this to your top 10 clients? And, you know, any that book in the next month, let us send you a 10% gift on addition to your commission. Gosh, wow. Just become that proactive.
That's brilliant.
Just make it so easy. Okay, pick up where you were.
Oh, and then the other thing, Barry, this is incredibly valuable for me. Like, you just have no idea. The other thing that's really cool for me is, as a fledgling entertainer, we always look to the Raspini brothers like, oh, we want to do, you know, like, you guys are team juggling. There's, you know, some similar, our show's very different from what you guys do, but,
amen,
but
yeah.
What you guys are doing and your level of success is something I've always aspired to. But when you find out that someone you admire from afar is a really awesome human being, it's pretty cool. So thank you so much.
Woof. Thank you, man. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, I really find there's just way too much, you know, to even try and say it, but I'm just immensely grateful, even having had my internet annihilated the past 4 weeks and I haven't been able to watch the past 4 modules and whatnot, and barely able to just get my basic emails done on a daily basis. You know, I knew from the very outset that this was going to be something that was going to take a year plus to deploy all these ideas, and just feel great about the knowledge base and what I've already been able to implement. And yeah, it's just like what I've always known to build the business. It's that daily showing up every day. And so, yeah, I feel really good about being able to keep accessing the resources and get caught back up once I have internet, whenever someone comes and installs a whole new cable to our building. Yeah, just keep rolling it forward. You know, it gives me such incredible hope. And I guess I'd mentioned this to you, Barry, in our interview or in the typed interview or whatever pre. For me, it's just been profound to actually have someone who could be a mentor figure in my life. Because basically my whole life, I've never had anyone who I could look to for any sort of guidance on how to do what I'm trying to do.
Awesome, yeah.
Something different than all the people I see out there. And so to have that, and then the other thing for me, to have colleagues, you know, this group of people here that I'm looking at right now and all the other people, you know, has been profound. And I'm just so excited to be able to continue being part of the community and to be bouncing ideas back and forth and sending referrals and, you know, supporting each other in that success. So, you know, just immense gratitude for all of it, and feel really, really solid about how to move forward.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love that. Boy, that's some things, Sven, that I hadn't even thought of. And, yeah, as you say, I love the way you've shown up in here too, man. Just like, you know, jumping in, owning where you're falling short, having, you know, building on ideas. It's great. You'll be a huge addition to anything you do. I have no doubt about that, and bring a really lit up energy and a great head of hair to it. So it's good. Yeah. It's awesome, man.
There's been so many really, really great ideas in this group that are.
Go ahead, Jeff. Sorry about that.
Oh no! I was just gonna say there's so many really great ideas, and as somebody who took the dive into this whole kind of internet marketing thing years ago, and has seen way too much of this kind of stuff, I got to tell you, everybody here has saved themselves a lot of time and money, because even with 10 years of the internet marketing background, knowledge and stuff that I had, I still could never really figure out how to apply it towards the live entertainment. So I can just. Barry, I wish I would have found you, you know, 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Because this is it would have saved me a lot of time. So now implementing, going back and, you know, rewiring all that old programming and then applying it to all this stuff, it's been a real revelation, and it's been great seeing everybody. Like, I loved seeing that whole Santa Claus idea, you know, come to life. And I loved the Einstein ideas coming out. You know, it's just my brain's been kind of running on overdrive since this whole course started, because of all these new ideas and applying all of the internet marketing stuff with all the entertainment stuff. Finally.
Oh man, I'm going to watch you for that, Jeff, because I can't tell you. I mean, it was funny. I'll just show my hand here, you know, during our, I don't want to bring them. I have notes on all of our pre-interviews. If anyone wants to see those, yeah, in fact, you can see yours. I'll share them with you. But you know, yours was like, shit, man, this guy knows a ton about internet marketing. And really something I always cared is like, how are we going to apply, you know, not talk to you like you're in first grade, you know, but exactly what you said, you know, here's the stuff and here's how you apply it. So I think it helped raise the overall level of how I just shared it this year and how we talked about it. So I was really glad to have you in here, and yeah, it's scary. So it always is. Yeah. It's always good, man. Yeah. That's great. Good. So I know other people have accountability stuff. If you're not, you know, up for sharing it on the group, that's fine. I get that. Anything else you wanted to say about the program? Anything you wanted to be followed up on, you know, feel free to say it now, add it to our alumni group. And yeah, the 17 group will continue for a while. You may feel like you're juggling two groups, but I don't think this 2016 group has had a post in a long time, but it just kind of lives there. And when Facebook notifies me that it's been, you know, a few months since anyone's posted and should we archive it, I always hit no. So I'll keep them alive for sure. But know that a lot of the conversation starts happening over in the other ones. Feel free also, and this is a great invitation, you know, if you're sitting somewhere at a gym or you're at a waiting room, scroll back, you know, 6 months, a year, see what people were doing when Showbiz Blueprint 2015 ended, when 16 ended. Feel free to comment on those, bring those back up to the top, because, you know, it'll help a lot of people look at their own mirror of accountability. Hey, did you ever do this thing you wanted to do? Great for you to find out if they did, you know, some more feedback on how it worked. And if they didn't, sorry, someone's going back. I'm not sure who it is. I'm just going to mute Tui and Sven for a second. Yeah, it went away. And if they did do it, wonderful. You know, maybe you can save yourself some learning by finding out how that went for you. So there's just, you know, years of backlogs back in there about people who have learned to play this way. And, you know, seeing some of the successes is very inspirational. You know, I had shared a photo with the name blurred out in our group recently, but since you're in the group now, you know, it was Scott Neary who said, you know, I just did a gig for my highest price ever, and next week I have one for 2.5 times that amount. And I know he just did that one for 2.5 times his highest amount, and he'll be writing about it soon, I'm sure, in the alumni group. But yeah, it's really fun to, you know, see what people are doing in this world. So, you know, make that one of the places you hang out and use for inspiration, not just our stuff. So, yeah.
I'm just going to say, I just finished Profit First this morning and recommend it to everyone. And if you are reading it and you keep going, yeah, but this doesn't seem, I mean, it applies, but how does that work in it when it's just me and he keeps talking about this and, you know, in a business, but just me is my mortgage and everything else too. At the end, when he gets to the chapter of a profit first life, that starts to make sense.
Yep.
Then he explains that. Because I kept thinking that was one of my questions I wanted to ask you. Well, how do you work that with all that? Then I was reading it this morning for a lot longer than I intended to and got there and went, oh, I think I should read this because I might not need to ask him my question now.
Awesome.
Nope, I don't need to ask Barry the question.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a really important section for solopreneurs, the profit first life. Yeah.
I recommend it. And I'm thinking, well,
I'm going to kill your video too, just because I think
one of the things that for me has come up with this is just a very specific.
I killed your video because your audio comes in. Yeah, it comes in better now with your video turned off.
Okay, and I should be okay here. I don't know that much different if I go in the door, but. So the whole rope walking thing and ladder on the rope thing has become part of my show, but I don't do it that many places because of the whole rope walking setup part. And about if I had a freestanding rig where I can literally set it anywhere, because I mean, even if you're at a hotel and they've got a stage set up, you can't tie off to the end. It's just going to lift it up.
Yep.
And I've literally for 4 years been working on trying to build one that's light enough to break down and fly with and things. And I've had two that work out of a loop, sort of big hammock stand that work, but they don't work well. They're very springy. It feels like you're standing on a bowstring or an arrow. And anyway, it's like I never really kept pursuing the thing and finishing it off because I didn't like the way it felt. And then, you know, after doing this and talking and thinking about branding and stuff, and it was like, okay, I think I needed to get that figured out. So just in my brain, and literally I think it was like a week and a half ago in bed one morning, I came up with some other design ideas and then drove to Kansas City to my brother's last week, partly just so I'd have time to be in a car and think with my dog. And anyway, I built a prototype of a new design out of 2x4s this last week, and it fixes everything. And so now I just need to make it out of the aluminum. I sent Mick, who's in my accountability group, a little video of me doing on it. But it fixed everything. It should weigh no more than 25 pounds when it's done. Nice. And I'm going to try and make it so it'll actually just fit in a off-the-shelf suitcase.
Oh, I love it.
But now it's like, okay, now I feel like I can add that in now that I'm doing the website and the video and stuff and kind of make it part of the branding, so to speak. And
you know, I love it.
But I just said, I don't think I'd have got there without doing this. Like, my brain wouldn't have been there. I wouldn't have, you know, felt that. That was actually in the week one or two where you said, what things haven't you finished?
Yep.
That are still, that was like one of the two things I wrote down with the rope walking rig. And it was, yeah, the other side, the other day, I mean, I was just, honey, I'm really excited. He says, yeah, no, I see it in your eyes. You're very excited. Because it was just that literally 4 years of off and on, you know, making different prototypes and tweaking those, and every now and then thinking about it. And then it was just, you know, 2 hours in the garage, and boom, it worked. So thank you for that.
Well, cool.
Along with everything.
Do you know a guy named Rob Zeiser, Z-E-I-S-E-R?
I do not.
He's great. He's in the alumni group. You should definitely write him. Ask him to share an idea that he had during Showbiz Blueprint that he has never pursued, because it's right up your alley, and he's such a giving guy. He has since gone on to open his own theater in Guam. He's not going back. He's opened a theater. He's got a full-time running show in Guam. He's doing amazing, and you know, he credits the work we did in here to that, to just thinking that big and developing it. But what his Z-E-I-Z-S-E-R, Zeiser. Just type in ROBB in the alumni group, and he'll come up.
Okay, and just say, what was your idea?
You know, it's his idea, and I'd love him to give it to you. But it had to do with rope walking in a corporate arena and talking about balance and getting two or three of the CEOs and working with them for 5 minutes with a pole and letting them deliver part of their keynote where they're walking. It was $1 million idea that he took another $1 million idea and moved to Guam. But okay. I know he would talk you through that. He's a great guy.
Okay, cool.
Say I'm from. Tell him I'm from 17 Group, and Barry told me about an amazing idea you never did, we should talk about it. So.
Okay, I will do that. Thank
cool.
you.
Yeah,
that's my two or three other corporate speaking ideas I've gotten since doing the group.
This one's $1 million, man. This one is this one's sitting at the sitting there on the other end of a one sheet waiting for you to sell.
Okay. Oh, and I have a cool question for. At the beginning, when it was like the first 10 people who signed up got a integration call after the program.
Yeah, Betsy should have taken care of that. I hope she did. Okay. I'll check in with her about it.
Theoretically, I was. It said I was when I signed up.
Oh, if she said you were, then you were. Yeah.
She did. I mean, I'm just saying when I signed up, it said there were this many spots available.
After awesome. I'm sure you are then. Oh, you know what? I'm seeing 1 through 10. Yeah, I'm seeing 1 through 10. Yeah. Perfect. I'll have her, if she didn't do it, she should have. I'll have her send you guys a calendar link to book that.
Okay, sure. Do you know roughly when that would be? Because that's that as far as my website goal, it's definitely before that.
Good. You and I'll do that outside of Betsy. We'll cover that.
Okay.
We'll do it for that, and I'll just make a time with you through an email afterwards. But yeah, I won't have her go through that, because we'll get that going. And then yeah, these other folks will do that too. I thought Betsy let you know. Colin, Tui, Anthem, Patrick, Sven, Matt, Jeff, Bree, Jeremiah, Steve Kohler, who I've never once seen on a call. Yep. Okay. Good. Cool. So that's great. And yeah, I'll have her get the scheduler to you guys for that. That'd be great.
Were those the people that are still need to be added to the alumni group, or what was?
No, those were the first 10 people who Betsy has starred as for the integration call. So.
Uh-huh. I don't think I'm in the alumni group yet. I sent a message, but is that happened after this, or is it?
No, Betsy sent an email out to everybody. Hopefully you got it.
I got it and replied to it, but I'm not in the group yet.
You friended her? Okay, great. Let me.
Likewise.
If I'm friends with you guys, let me just add you real quick. I can do it because I have it up here. And geez, we're taking care of things. Is it really? What's wrong? Someone needs to be fired? Is that what's happening? No, I'm kidding. Does somebody need to go? Okay, Jeff is in. Suzanne. Suzanne. Oh, Suzanne says already a member. So you're in, Suzanne.
I'm in, already in.
And then Mick. Let's see. Mick? Yeah, okay. Now Mick's in.
I'm already in.
Okay. Anyone else not in that I could add quickly?
I think I'm in.
Okay, cool. Good.
Beautiful. We still got to talk about those sumo suits that are somewhere in your basement.
Just one, yeah.
Just one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all you need to put one person in it, yeah.
That sounds very appealing.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing, yeah.
Going back to speaking to you with hair, if you're interested, I actually have a little video of you practicing by the Juggler Center at Minnesota Renaissance Festival from, I think, 1984.
What?
I think that should go on the.
I was going to say, I figured I should ask Barry before I just stick it up there.
Yeah, you should put it up. It would be funny. I'd like to see it.
I'll figure it out. Yeah, someone gave me a DVD. And it was from it's like an hour of footage from the Renaissance in 1984 or 85.
And wow, the Renaissance was.
You, me, and Barry, you know, I think someone else practicing by the Juggler Center.
Wow. Love that. Yeah. Great memories, man. 33 years. Wow, that's something, how fast that goes, man. 30, yeah.
Oh my
God.
This will be my 37th year this fall.
Yeah. Hey, you're an institution there, man. Yeah. Meg, what's up?
I was just waving to Suze. But, you know, 1984, that's.
Were you leaving? Oh yeah.
That's the year I lost on Star Search twice. I went on and I tell this story when I speak. When I was 18, I was in Denver to promote my first album. I made my first album when I was 18 for a little label, RCA subsidiary label. And a friend took me to Red Rocks Park, and you can stand in the day. You can stand. The stage is closed, but you can stand on the lip of the stage and look out at the audience. And I got up on the stage and I looked out at the audience and I thought, and this like desire just sprang from my heart. I would love to play here one day.
Yeah.
And a year and a half later, I opened for John Denver at Red Rocks Park.
Oh, I love Red Rocks. Like, what a place.
Wow. So that was my first manifestation story. And it was like, that's what came from, you know, wow. So fast forward 1983, I'm divorced. I'm living in Manhattan, and I'm tough, man. I'm pretty tough, and I'm flipping through the channels, and I see Star Search, you know, and I thought, yeah, you know, I want to go on Star Search. So, bibbidi bobbidi boo, you know, a producer I was working with had a contact at NBC, and I got an audition, and I passed, and I got on, and they said, you're next. The woman you're competing with has won, already won 7 times, you know, you're next. So I'm thinking, cool, you know, so I go on and I sing a ballad. I don't sing a rock number. I sing a ballad. And at the end, they say, T. Renee Crutcher, I'll never forget her name. T. Renee Crutcher, 4 stars. Now 4 is as many as you can get, you know, and I think, maybe we'll tie. And then Megan, oh, and my manager, boyfriend, producer, because I like to bundle, thinks that it's a good idea if I'm introduced as Megan from New York and not Mary Megan McDonough from Crystal Lake, Illinois. Let's give her a big hand. But Megan from New York, already I'm in California. It's dreadful, you guys. So
T. Renee Crutcher, 4 stars. Megan from New York, 3.5 stars. And you guys, my head filled with bees, and I thought, just turn, congratulate her, and hit the bricks. I get off stage, and I'm just about to let myself kind of have my moment of grief when I feel a tap on my shoulder, and the camera person says, Megan, could you come back? The camera ran out of film, and we have to refilm the camera. So here's what I know.
Oh, my God.
The universe is going to turn up the volume if I don't get it. If it, you know, there's, I would love to play here one day, which was this beautiful sort of innocent, clear message to the universe, as opposed to, yeah, you know, I want to go on Star Search because I could probably beat the pants off. It was heart versus ego. It was heart versus head. It was 18, 19 years old versus pretty tough living in Manhattan thinking, I know something. You know, and I'm not punishing myself because that's just where I was, but
Great story.
So clearly not for me, you know, that the universe couldn't have let me know any other way because, you guys, I was pretty intent, like, yeah, I'm going to win this, and I'm not, nah.
So, yeah, you know, let me amplify this out to a part of this you may not see, and this will apply to everybody who has a story like that, that I'll take a guess, you didn't say it, but I'm guessing this story defined you in some way for the rest of your life.
Oh my gosh, I got sober, you know. Wow. I got sober and I started walking a really different path.
Yeah.
A really different spiritual path that just, you know, cracked me open.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a great signature story, and the key to a signature story is it tells a story that engages the listener, and there's enough specific about it that we care about you because we're listening to it, and then there's enough universal that as you're telling it, I can draw the parallels in my own life for it.
Right.
And there's a lot of power in this story because you being able to tell this might be the great opening that someone needs to hear who's now at a place where it's time for them to walk this path from ego to heart. You know,
I call the voice and I tell my students the divine intersection between your head and your heart, you know, is going to come from here. It's going to come from, you know, even if you think you can't sing, even if you think you don't have any voice, or, you know, the things that you say and the things that you sing, are, if they can come from that divine intersection of head and heart, because that's the longest journey we're ever going to travel.
What, love it. Yeah, it's a fairly short distance, but a treacherous route, huh?
yes, right.
But I will offer you that there's, you know, pick a number, a million women who are at an age in life who want to do that, and it would make a great story. And you've touched on it already in your keynote, it sounds like, when you inform you talk about it. But, you know, it may open up into something bigger. Meg, I don't like to think of every story as a way towards a product, a way for you to play bigger, but hell, I think
that's... Oh, no, I would love to implement
while you're here.
What I'm doing with that story, just not quite sure how to shape it.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. I'll make sure to include that as part of the passive income module, really to take these experiences from life and how can they be formed into a product? How can they be formed into a simple squeeze page and a signature story that you can then get on podcasts, talk about this story? There's, I don't know, 24 podcasts or so that I can think of right now because I'm working with a private coaching client who's an entrepreneur who's coaches midlife women. And she's teaching coaches how to run groups in small communities wherever they live in the world. So she's looking at podcasts that are for midlife women. And boy, those stories are insanely powerful. And for you to be able to tell that story, give 3 points on how that you took from the experience and how the listeners can apply those to their life right now. Leave the podcast listening audience with that. Send them to a squeeze page where they can opt in for more from you. A simple funnel of emails that goes out to them. And then maybe an offer for private coaching, for group coaching, for, you know, whatever it is, your song. And what was the great line you had? You know, whatever you say or whatever you sing, you know, I get,
yeah.
You know, there's just there's the possibilities are so endless, and there's a world that's hurting. And the online education, Jeff will tell you this, you know, that number at least doubles in slow years. It doubles, but it's in the the two digits, billions of dollars right now. People are spending for online education, you know?
Oh God.
We're searching for leaders for, to be guided for help. And you know, when you can, you're going to bring this many people in your funnel, this many are going to be opening your sixth email, this many are going to see your offer, and these 30 at the end are going to be in a group coaching session with you. Mm. It's a wonderful set. It's a wonderful process. So
right.
We'll talk beautiful. About it more.
Thank you.
And in the meantime, book some gigs singing. I know you want to do that.
So. Yeah, that's how I'll supplement it. Mary, I can't thank you enough. Everybody, thank you for keeping our divine appointment.
Oh, you're the best. Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Meg.
I'll meet you at the pass.
Yeah.
Hey, before anybody else gets off, if you come out to LA at all, let's get together. Let's go to the Magic Castle. Okay.
Love the Magic Castle. I'll take you up on it, Suze. Thank you.
I love it.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye, Meg.
I also think I have to come to the US one day because there are so many people I would like to meet. Just one question, if I may, Jeff, before you.
Oh, yeah, Jeff.
How is the passive income module looking like? Just for me to be clear about this. You will present a video and that's it, or will there be another Q&A session?
No, we'll do a live thing like this, but there will be more people on it, so we'll probably do a webinar jam.
Okay.
We'll do a live, and I'll do a lot of screen shares, take you inside, answer questions. Really, I am going to have a lesson I teach so that it goes A, B, C, D, E to the end, and then we'll do some Q&A after that.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
That was Tuesday the 11th?
Yes, Tuesday the 11th at this time. And so it'll be our Tuesday, a regular Tuesday meeting time, but we'll bump it out. I guess that's
11th July.
11 July. And I'm going to be at the Berlin airport for like 2 hours. I don't know if you're anywhere near there. No.
Yeah, I am near there.
Are you?
When?
I'll email you the time and date, but we're connecting there.
Yes?
Yeah, we're connecting there when we go to on one of our trips. I got all our plans final, so.
Can you tell me the date?
Not really. Let me think. No, it's in the house on a big calendar.
Okay. Let me know. I was thinking about that because you said you come to Europe and I wanted to ask you, but you said
we're going
to
be in
Finland.
I don't know if you're not near Frankfurt, right? That's where we're going to spend 3 days.
It's 3.5 hours, right?
Come meet me, man. We'll have dinner.
Okay. Let me know the days and we will decide either Berlin or Frankfurt.
Yeah, very good. I'll let you know.
Awesome.
I didn't know how close that was, but yeah, that's the closest. I'm going to get together with a friend who I haven't seen in 40 years. So yeah, good.
I just want to say, first of all, Barry, thank you so much for this. I went into the program with massive expectations. Like I was expecting this is going to be good. This is going to be fucking great. Sorry, bad word. And it still over-delivered. So awesome. And all of the people here, thank you so much. Because every time, every meeting, you get me going. Like, you get me in the zone. And having you all here really keeps me accountable. Because I like you guys. I don't want to disappoint you. So thank you so much.
Awesome. It's so good. Hey, you know, and you know, I think about something that we can do with a continuing group. So I'm going to keep letting it roll. I always joked with myself when we had 200 alumni, we do a live event somewhere. And now this class just puts us over 200. So I'm going to play with that idea. And, you know, I get excited thinking about it and I get crazy thinking about it. And I have so many thoughts about what I've liked at events and hated at events. And I think we've already established it won't be cheap and no one will come up and upsell, you know, products all day long. That'll be important. So, and really been, this has been a remarkable class. I love meeting with people like this. So it's big.
It'd be cool to have the Showbiz Blueprint live experience in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Dude, I'm
all of the alumni.
Just so easy.
Experience Showbiz Blueprint live, baby, from Las Vegas.
I know it's got to happen.
And where, in Minnesota, it'd be a good central location.
Let me know.
What was that? I'm sorry, Mick. What'd you say?
But if you want entertainment at the event,
yeah, be getting CVIs from you guys.
I'll watch Google My Raid for you.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be so fun, man. Yeah, it'd be so great.
Yeah, right, whoever can do the best CVI.
I know. Well, you know, I think it would probably be more fun just to have a showcase stage at night, actually. It'd be way more fun, so.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be way fun, so.
Oh, Barry, are we
good video, too.
What's that? What's that, Suzanne?
I said everybody will get some great video.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I'm taking notes. It's a great audience.
Barry, are we doing the 90-day, like, money challenge? Is that
yeah, that's something I'm going to actually pitch that out to the entire alumni group. I'm just organizing the notes on that right now. So
cool. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
I did it with a private group. I did a 1 year long Monday morning kickstart with a whole bunch of Showbiz Blueprint alumni with 25 people. We met every Monday morning and we did that for a year. We did a Monday, we may have done two throughout the year and it was really powerful. So I'll look forward to doing it. Yeah, they're good, and I'll teach you exactly what it looks like. Talk about something that gets you out of your way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So guys. All right, this is officially the longest Q&A ever. Chris, good to have you in the car. Don't hit any buttons, man. I feel like we're watching Nightline, and you're going to bust a predator. It's just fantastic. it's going well. So, yeah, really good to be with everybody. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for making this a remarkable experience. You know, I'll send out, Betsy's going to send out an exit survey. I just ask that you guys would fill that out. It really helps me, you know, find out what worked, and I hear some stuff that worked and I love it. And honestly, so much of what I got to incorporate in the live Q&As this year came directly from exit surveys from 2016. So, and I see the improvement. So I look forward to anything you guys have to add to that. I'll hit you up for a testimonial video, you know, and make one when you have some results that are worth speaking about. I think no matter what I could say about it, you know, the experiences that you guys have in it will help people get over the hurdle themselves. And that's something I really like doing once a year. So cool, you guys. I will.
Hey, Barry, I jumped back on real quick thinking there's no way they're still on. And there you go. This is the right home.
So funny, man.
Crazy.
It's Wednesday morning. We're still going. Let's go to the top board. We've raised over $30 million. It's fantastic. Feels like one of those telethons that never ends. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Barry. It's obvious you're doing this from your heart, and that in itself is just a great example for all of us.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, man. Thanks, Alan. Thanks for speaking up today. Yeah.
Yeah. I also loved the group. The group was very nice. It was so nice to see everyone joining in with their ideas and coming up with excellent ideas for some of us. And I really enjoyed to see the progress and what people create for future for themselves with all these ideas. I see it, as you, Barry, always say all the time so clearly. Really, like with the Santa Claus thing, that's amazing. Or the MC squared and things like this. This is so much cool ideas, and it sounds so nice and feels very good. And I like the group, and that's why I would love that we still see us in our Facebook group, that the people join, and that it doesn't go away so easily. We will go in the alumni because there are a lot of people. They have much more knowledge and we have much more experience, and we will also go over there. But I would love to see that we stick around over here.
I love it. Yeah. Do it and keep that container alive. I go into any of them where there's posts. So, you know, and one thing for Tom, who I know who will listen on replay here. It's like that MC squared. I'm glad you mentioned that. You talk about an idea that is there for the taking. It's so powerful. We all have possibilities that are just there for the taking. They're sitting right there for us. You know, Alan touched his heart on one, you know, about becoming this guy who's fully committed to his character. It's like these ideas are there for the taking or for the leaving, you know, and it's up to us. So if I were Tom, I would get that MC squared with a nice landing page in front of 10 corporate buyers in the next. I would just kick my ass. I would just say, you know what? I'm going to do this in the next 14 days. Doesn't matter. Hell or high waters. No sleep. If I have to hire a team, if I have to do whatever, it's like I'm doing a 14-day stretch to get that in front. And it may be a great thing for him for a 90-day money challenge just to just get that thing in front of corporate buyers because it's so rare that they get to go, oh, in one sentence, you know, I get it. This is awesome. You know, let's do this. And then, hey, Robert, did he connect with you about the connection you had in Sweden? I know that was in one of the notes.
For the Nobel Prize.
You said I know someone in Sweden who you should talk to about this, because I had it in the week 9 or week 8 notes. I forget.
I think it was about the Nobel Prize committee.
Oh, okay.
I think I saw that. I can find out, because I've been at the Nobel after party and performed, so I can try to backtrack to who has the actual Nobel party.
It was just something I remember putting in parentheses. It said, reach out to Robert for a connection. Maybe it wasn't Tom. Maybe it was someone else. I forget, but read the notes.
No, it was Tom.
It was Tom. Good. Tom. Nice. Very good. Yeah. So that's good, you guys.
Okay. Peace, Let's everybody. Give a hug.
Yeah. Groove hug, man. Thank you guys so much. An experience beyond life. Love it.
If we experience withdrawal, can we get together once a month on a little Zoom get together party?
Totally, man. Let's do a reunion in a month. Well, we'll have our in about a month we'll have our passive income module, but we'll get one on the calendar for after that, just to hear where people are at. I love it.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. All right, everybody. Thanks to everyone.
Bye. Thank you, Barry.
See you guys.
Bye, everyone.